You've heard the coach's insights leading up to tonight's game of the week. We brought you predictions and updates of all our area teams. You've seen or heard the hits and huge plays of tonight's biggest game. Well, football fans, we're just getting started. It's time now for the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show with Jake and Boz on the MSC Sports Radio Network. The Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show is brought to you in part by McDonald's of Hiawatha and Seneca, by Knights of Columbus Insurance, Kirby Schmelsley, B&P Propane, by Gals of Grace Boutique in Nortonville, Blue Valley Technologies, by Commercial Tire Solutions, by Edward Jones, The Elevator in Valley Falls, by Bruna Implement Company, Sunflower Community Credit Union, by American Family Insurance, Brad Noller Agent, by Helena AgriSystems, Lucard Chiropractic in Sabetha, by Honeyman Ford in Seneca, the Denison State Bank, and by Giant Communications.
This is how we do it.
Let's go! Week number 8. Final regular season game. It's Friday night, which means it's another evening of Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show with Jake and Boz. I'm Jake. That's Boz. Bozzy, the final game of the regular season is done. Oh,
I can't believe we're all the way through this football season, but man, what a good night. It was back to kind of football weather tonight. Love it.
Great stuff. The weather. Okay, let's talk about that for a second.
Well, last week was really cold.
Last week was football weather, my friend.
But no. That was too much. That was too much. It was way too cold. Tonight was perfect.
Dude.
Perfect.
Come on now. Right now, 62 degrees outside. I mean, you didn't even have to have a sweatshirt on tonight at the game we went to.
It's okay. It wasn't 80
degrees.
We were
in shorts.
Hey, it wasn't 80 degrees. It wasn't 30 degrees.
October the 20th, and we're in shorts going to a football game on Friday night.
That's perfect.
You
don't worry
about it. Bibs. It's time to break out the bibs. We had to have them last week. And I was thinking maybe, just maybe, we'd be doing that again this week. Nope.
Nope.
It was 83 degrees when I was playing a little bit of football with my boys before we left our house earlier this evening. And all-time quarterback right here, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Kids love it.
As a dad. You don't want to run around.
Nope. Let them run around, get themselves. My wife definitely happy every time I got to leave for a Friday night. She's like, yeah, wear them boys out. Speaking of wearing some boys out, we got some scores tonight, Bozzy.
We're going to need some help, though, tonight.
Yeah, we are.
I don't know what's going on.
Week number eight in the books, buddy. This is the final week of districts. Some people's seasons, this is their last game that, quote-unquote, matters. A lot of teams on the line. We're going to have to go into a lot of that tonight, but what do we got for scores?
All right, here's what we got so far. I'll run through these, and then I'll give you the ones we don't have. So tonight, the scores we got, Frankfort, they put it to Hanover. That was a game I wasn't real sure about.
Yeah. And it was a game early.
It was close. Yeah, it was close at half, but Frankfort runs away with it in the second half. They end up winning 62-14. Axtell all over Donovan West, 78-8. Jeff County North, they took it to Mission Valley tonight, 68-7. Look at some of these scores.
Spring and Leaks.
Troy, big win tonight for them at Riverside, 26-14. Jackson Heights takes it to Onega, 46-0.
Dang.
That was a big one. Smith Center, here's a little shocker for me. Smith Center defeats Valley Heights 34-22.
Dang.
Another kind of shocker.
Yeah.
The score anyways. Nemaha Central, we're going to dig into that one a little bit.
Tell me about it.
Nemaha Central at Sabetha. Close game at half, but Nemaha Central, they run away with it in the second half. They get the victory 28-0. That's a number one, number two matchup.
Yep.
Another shutout for Nemaha Central.
We'll talk about it.
We'll get into that. Holton, they were all over Jeff West tonight, 61-7. Royal Valley, they come out on top of Perry LeCompton, 23-14.
Big win for the Tigers.
Big win. And,
or for the Panthers.
For the Panthers.
I don't know. Excited on the Tigers.
Last score we've got, Hayden, they defeated Hiawatha 56-7. Those are the scores we got tonight.
Who do we need? We need a lot.
All right, we need Clifton Clyde at Bennington, Washington County at Rock Hills, Lynn at Blue Valley, St. Mary's at McClouth. That's a big game. We need to know what happened with that score.
Yep.
Oskaloosa, Valley Falls, another one. We really want to know what happened with that one.
Uh-huh.
ACCHS at Silver Lake. That's, again, another.
Big.
All these scores, some implications here. Morehill Mount Academy at Rossville. Clay Center at Marysville. Wyandotte at Atchison,
yep.
Centralia at Pleasant Ridge, and Wabunsee at Horton. We're missing a bunch tonight.
We need your help. Giant Communications Hotline is open right now. Give Kurt a call. Give Colin a call. Give me and Boz a call. We need to know the scores of those games Bozzy just mentioned. 785-547-3461. If you have a score for us of those scores that we just announced that we need, give us a call at 785-547-3461 in order to give us that scoring update. We're going to go into our Friday Night Highlights segment here in just a second. But a couple of those scores that we were going through right now, Buzz, I wanted to go back through a couple of them. And one of them we were waiting on the final of. You mentioned Atchison versus Wyandotte. The Phoenix, they laid a 50-burger. In the first quarter, I believe, is what I heard Tom Couch say.
They were up big. So I don't think the outcome is in question.
No.
We just want to see what happened. The Phoenix undefeated this season.
Yeah.
Looking like they're going to get the win tonight.
And
but
we heard that
score is.
Gus and Tom are saying, we might be able to get home before Atchison is done scoring.
Yeah.
So shout out Tom and Gus Couch.
That was great.
On the call tonight, they had JCN at Mission Valley, which we thought would be a big-time game potentially, and the Chargers just dominate tonight over there at Mission Valley. And the reason why Oskaloosa's game is a big-time game for that district, Boz, is because Oskaloosa, with their win over McClouth last week, had a shot to sneak into the postseason with a win tonight by a large margin. But they also needed Mission Valley to beat McClouth. Or, excuse me,
St. Mary's.
St. Mary's, excuse
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Needed McClouth to lose to St. Mary's. And that's why we need to know these scores.
Yeah, well, district stuff. I mean,
everything
it's all going to shuffle.
Yes, it's still open and up for grabs. That means, Boz, we're going to wait for those calls to come in, give us some updates on that. But the Giant Communications Hotline is going to be open for you because we want to hear about the game that you were at. Were you at the biggest game of the night, the rivalry matchup between Sabetha and Nemaha? You want us to tell us a little bit about it? That was a game that we went to. We'll talk more in depth about that here in just a few minutes. But were you at the Holton-Jeff West game? Were you at Hiawatha-Hayden? What were some big-time games that you were at, moments in those games that maybe turned the tide, that maybe, even in a loss, maybe some positive things going into next week? It's time for Friday Night Highlights.
We've given you tonight's scores and even some insights from our area games of the week. Now, we want to hear from you. It's time for Friday Night Highlights on the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show.
All right, the Friday Night Highlights is now on the air for you. What game did you go to that was impressive, that was fun, that was, I don't know, maybe a little bit different? I don't know. We can't make it every single game, man.
Tell us a big play. Something that happened during the game. I'm sure there was a turning point, a pivot point, a big play, a big run. Just call and tell us what happened.
Apparently not, because you know, the phone's not ringing.
Well, apparently every week there's nothing that happens during a football
game. These games are boring, man. There's nothing exciting that happens. Give us a call. The Giant Communications Hotline is open for you. 785-547-3461. Giant Communications, when you need fast, reliable internet, look no further than Giant Communications. Online at giantcomm.net. Again, 785-547-3461 is the phone number. We're going to go right into our game of the week that we went to. It was one that we highlighted, and you can check our Facebook page on the Cantaland Facebook page to see who our winner was this week of our fitted gift card over in Seneca. Whitney Wilson hooked us up with $50 off of your purchase of $100, and Miss Lori Gruber, boy, she did not just find us, Boz.
No, she grabbed us.
She came after us, and she was like, you guys have a gift card, and I want it.
She saw us coming. She was, I mean, we were 25, 30 yards away, and she's like, no, you
That's
guys.
Right.
You guys
That's
are
right.
Won.
She came and found us. Lori Gruber, big shout-out to you. Congratulations. She's the winner of the gift card to Fitted. And we're going to keep this going as long as we are doing this postgame show. So, again, next week we're going to have to pick a big-time matchup. And we'll talk a little bit more in detail about when we say big-time matchup, Buzz, it doesn't always equate on the scoreboard.
No,
but
it doesn't.
Before... And
we've found that out over the last eight
yeah.
weeks.
Yeah. Just in case people are tallying at home, because we are every single week. Our big time games of the week. This week we picked Nemaha Sabatha. Boz, it was a 28-0 victory for the Thunder. On the season now, 298 to 31.
I don't even know what to say. These are games that we kind of study
on paper
the week before, and they really are two good teams, quality teams. Every single week we've had really good football teams. Whatever reason, when we're there, one team is just going to get slaughtered. It just happens every week, so I don't even know.
That, I mean, yeah, 298 to 31. Somebody told us earlier on the phone as a joke, they said, people are going to start paying you not to come to their games.
Just don't come to our game.
And I think it's on the flip side, too. Maybe people will pay us to start coming to their games.
I like that thought.
Yeah.
Just come, make sure you come to our game so we can get a big win.
And it's not even like the home or the away team. It was 50-50.
Yep.
Four home games, or four home teams with a win by blowout. Four visiting teams with a win by blowout. I mean, again, the final score doesn't always dictate a blowout, but
exactly.
That's what we're going off of. It's just the final score of the games. And one of the games ended at halftime, 36-0, ACCHS and JCN back all the way in week number two.
Yeah, Axel Frankfurt last week
was
just into the third quarter.
Axel Clay
Centralia.
How about I say Clay Center? No, Axel against Clifton Clyde was a halftime one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's just I don't know what to do, man. I guess
right.
Next year for the regular season games, we're just going to pick matchups maybe of teams at the bottom of their district playing each other.
That's no fun, though.
It is fun.
Well, we could do it. Yeah, we could do that. We could go some of those.
Come on now. Don't be smacking.
I'm not being a hater.
Yeah, you're already smacking the teams that are already down.
I don't want to do that.
All right, again, phone line open for you. Tell us a little bit more about a game you were at tonight. 785-547-3461. The Giant Communications hotline is open for you. 785-547-3461. Boz, tonight's game that we chose was Nemaha Sabatha, a Nemaha County rivalry game, number one versus number two, undefeated against each other. Nemaha riding a long winning streak. Sabatha home tonight. It was senior night. Everything in the air had everything we needed. When we showed up there, the crowd was lively on both sides. It was a great turnout. And, yeah, take us through the beginning parts of this game.
Well, you know, we hyped it up. We really did a lot of research on this game last week. And there's a historic rivalry between Nemaha Central and Sabatha. They're not very far apart. These teams face off a lot in the postseason. And, you know, here's the thing. The big deal was Nemaha Central averaging 43 points per game. Sabatha averaging 37 points per game. Defensively, Nemaha Central has given up one touchdown, and that was in the first game of the season. They've been pitching shutouts ever since. So that was a big piece. Is that defense going to be able to hold up? Sabatha's defense, no joke either. Sabatha's defense was only allowing 6 points per game. So, you know, all these things lining up, which team's going to come out and assert themselves? And tonight, it was Nemaha Central. Now, early in this game, Nemaha Central gets the opening kickoff. They get one first down. They have to punt. They punt to Sabatha. Sabatha gets one first down punt. At that point, Jake and I were thinking, oh, this is going to be a battle. I mean, here the defense is going to get after each other. It's going to be back and forth.
Yeah.
Next possession, Nemaha Central, they get it down to the Sabatha 18-yard line. A long pass from Carter Hike to Caleb Strathman. It's fourth and two on Sabetha's 10.
Yeah.
And Carter Hike gets the touchdown, 6-yard touchdown run.
Mm-hmm.
Nemaha goes up 7-0.
Yeah.
Now, again, it's 7-0 at the end of the first quarter. If you're Sabatha,
happy.
We're okay. We're fine.
Yep.
Sabatha, the first possession of the second quarter, things go a little sideways. They throw an interception. Carter Hike picks it off, returns it to the 14 of Sabatha. Nemaha Central, they were fourth and three at the Sabatha 6-yard line. Sabatha gets a big time stop. And so now you're like, all right, here we go. Now Sabetha's got momentum. It's kind of back and forth. Sabatha unable to get anything done with that. And then with, I don't know, there was maybe 48, 50 seconds left in, Nemaha Central went three and out on the next possession. Couldn't get anything going. So it's 7-0 at the end of the second quarter.
Yeah.
And so you're going into halftime.
Yes.
We're good.
Yes.
I mean, that was the thing. I thought Sabatha going into the locker room, like, we were standing right there, and the fans like, hey, we're good,
yeah.
We're good. Everybody's kind of still hyped up. We're still in this game. Second half was all Nemaha. Their first three possessions of the second half, all touchdowns.
Let's start really quickly, though. The opening drive for Sabatha in the second half, They go plus territory across the 50-yard line. Find a way to get into Nemaha territory in a big 4th and 1.
Yeah.
And that's when I felt like, and even if you're listening on 103.9, Trenton Craxter, color commentator for Brandon Tadman, on the call tonight, made that comment in postgame. And I agree with him. He says,
yeah,
that was a turning point in the game. Nemaha holds Sabetha on a 4th and 1. If Sabetha gets that first down, I'm not saying they're going to go down and score, but that was a major turning point, because if they convert, maybe they milk more time off, find a way to flip the field, something. Yeah. Even if they turn it over on downs, Nemaha, though, goes right down the field.
Yeah.
They get that turnover on downs, march right down the field.
That it was. Absolute turning point, complete change in momentum. And that's why, interesting sports, athletics, it's all so intriguing. I mean, it's how momentum can shift in a game. And if Sabetha picks up that first down, they're juiced up.
Yeah.
Maybe they go down the field. Maybe they score. Now it's a 7-7 tie. Maybe Nemaha starts tightening up a little bit, getting a little worried. Third quarter, finally let a team score in the second half. So it just, things can change in a hurry, and I think that was absolutely a critical turning point.
Massive turning point, as Boz alluded to. Nemaha goes on and just, again, throughout that second half, dominated the line of scrimmage. That was a big question mark. You had size on size in that game, and I felt like the trenches were won by Nemaha up front. And Sabetha, they had some guys battling cramps, it seemed like, tonight. And maybe that was something that was a part of it for them. They couldn't stay on the field. They couldn't get that leverage. But you got to give all the credit in the world to Nemaha Central for their domination on the offensive line tonight.
Yeah, offensive line, defensive line, they were good. Josh Gonzalez, Holden Bass, Abe Hilbert, they were in the backfield all night long.
Yep.
They were just putting pressure on the quarterback, never allowed them time to set up and throw the ball and survey the field. It was just pressure all night long. And the running game for Sabetha, they could never get that going either. There was penetration from the defensive line, tackles for losses. Nemaha Central, we said it from the preseason show when the jamborees were going on. This team coming off a state title, they're motivated, they're hungry. They still had a really, really nice team. So they proved it tonight. I mean, here's what's interesting, too. Nemaha Central, again, that's their 7th straight shutout.
Yeah.
And here's what's just fascinating to me. That was against the number 2 team in Class 2A in the entire state.
Yeah.
It wasn't – you're playing a very, very good Sabetha football team, and you pitch a shutout. That's 21 wins in a row for Nemaha Central. Now, let's talk about this on the flip side.
Uh-huh.
Sabetha.
Yeah.
You're not out.
No.
Absolutely. If you're Coach Garrett Michael –
this is a rematch going to happen in 4 weeks.
Yes, it's been that way the past several years.
Yes.
It happens. So I guarantee you, Coach Michael, talking in the locker room, listen, we took a blow tonight. We're going to get back up. We're going to get to work. We're going to focus. And here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
We're not going to worry about meeting Nemaha in 4 weeks.
You got to work on next week.
We're working on next week.
Yeah.
That's what we got to do. Get better Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Get ready for a playoff game. But Sabetha, again, they've got some athletic dudes.
Mm-hmm.
They've got size.
Yeah.
I think if they put it all together, that game is different. And it could be different in 4 weeks.
We'll have to wait and see.
Woo.
Yeah. Woo. All right, so that's a quick recap of our game of the week. We got somebody that called in, Boz, and we've had him on hold here for a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on here as we've got a caller here from, tell me your name and where you're calling from, sir.
Randy Bond, I'm calling from, well, I'm on the road, but I'm calling from Kansas City. I was at the Caravelle 8-man football game.
All right, 8-man Division 1, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, so how? I mean, what stood out? Did Caravelle get the win tonight? How did that look out?
Yeah, 76-28. Stand out of the game. We've got a running back there at Caravelle, Josiah Bonura, and he's got to be close, if not over 1,000 yards after tonight. So tonight he had 450 all-purpose yards.
Gee, money.
Yeah,
nice.
So two touchdowns on kickoff return, two touchdowns rushing, and one touchdown receiving.
Hot dang. So, all right.
Yeah, man, that's a game.
Yeah. It was a fun game.
Well, tell me a little bit about, you know, 8-man classification. Caravelle is familiar with some of our regional teams that we cover every single week, like an Axtell, like a Frankfurt. You know, and again, like this season, Axtell's toughest opponent this year was Caraparavel. And so tell me a little bit about what you're seeing through your eyes as far as, you know, a team like an Axel, an eight-man classification, and how they are stacking up, because now they have the longest winning streak in Kansas.
Right. Yeah, we got Axel first game of the season, and we actually had that game tied in the third quarter, and then one of our middle linebacker, one of our better defensive players, ended up getting injured, which ended up making a difference in eight-man. You go down a man. You know, not a lot of backups in eight-man football, but Axtell every year is a powerhouse. You know, it's just tough to stop that offense that they have. I can't remember what the quarterback's name is now since that
Brandon Smith.
So that's exactly right. So, I mean, you know, the players knew him by name going into that,
sure,
first matchup they had. But, yeah, they were impressive. But I remember coaches talking about in the press box, Axtell's coaches, when Caraparavel tied that up in the third quarter, their coaches were clapping, and they asked them what they were clapping for, and they're like, we haven't had a game go past halftime
yeah,
so long. You know, it was just nice to have a competitive game.
Yeah.
So yeah, the coaches and the players have done a really nice job down at Caraparavel. But last year was the first year part of Acacia, and, I mean, they were competitive in most of the games, but it was a real eye-opener, just very, very different. They were in a Christian league before that and had gone undefeated. You know, they were kind of like the Axtell of the Christian League the year before. There wasn't a team that, you know, came close to touching them. So they kind of got their eyes open last year about how physical, you know, the Acacia opponents would be. And that's really transferred to this year, both coaching and playing. And they modified the offense. They were really pass heavy last year, and now it's 50-50. So they're a fun team to watch, Caraparavel is. And I think, and we'll see, you never know in the playoffs, but I think they're set up to make a deep run into the playoffs, make a splash their second year in Cajun.
Awesome. Well, Randy, I appreciate you taking some time to call in and give us a little bit of insight. That's phenomenal. 400-plus total yards tonight from one of those kids from Caraparavel. That's really impressive. And I know that you've been around 11-man football your entire life. And, you know, I say this every single week on our show, Randy, that – eight man is so different that if you haven't seen it, you need to. Would you agree?
100%. When I was first introduced to it, I didn't know what to think about it. But if you like offense, you'll love eight man football.
Yeah.
It is up and down the field. You know, the athletes are, it's a little easier to highlight an athlete. If you've got a good athlete, it's a little easier to highlight them. But, yeah, I really enjoy eight-man football. Caraparavel next year actually is going to move into 11-man. So this will be our last year playing eight-man football. But,
yeah.
It's unique, and I think it's exciting. It's like, you know, watching arena football rather than watching you know, regular football. It's still football, but it's definitely different and unique.
Well, man, I do appreciate you giving us a call tonight, and I hope you have a safe drive back home. And go Caraparavel, go deep in the playoffs. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, that was Randy Bond calling because he wanted to talk Caraparavel, buddy.
That's all right.
Heck yeah.
We early in the season we were looking at some of the matchups and Caraparavel kept popping up and we kept saying, you know, they've had some good teams, but we just didn't know much about them.
Yeah.
So it sounds like they got
some dudes.
Running back for sure.
Got some dudes.
Yeah.
And again, like Randy just mentioned, you got to have, I mean, if you can just have one guy, it's easy to highlight them in eight-man football. We got more scores to get to, some recaps, a lot more to go here. We're just getting started here on the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show here on the MSC Sports Radio Network. Yeah, you're hanging out with Jake and Boz here on a Friday night, the final regular season game week. Postseason football's upon us. Stick around, we got a lot more to get to here on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have a lot of questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Shannon Wright. Let's work together to help ensure your finances can keep up with your unique needs over the long haul. You've done what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Call Jeff Russell in Sabetha, Red Edwards in Hiawatha, or me, Shannon Wright in Holden. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
At Giant Communications, we have internet speeds of up to 1 gigabyte per second. We know how essential high-speed internet is for your work, entertainment, and staying connected with loved ones. That's why we're here to transform your online experience.
No more staring at loading screens, no more interruptions during your favorite shows, and no more video game lag. Join the thousands of satisfied customers who have already embraced the future of internet connectivity with Giant Communications. Experience the freedom of seamless online existence. Say goodbye to slow internet and hello to the future. Contact Giant Communications today.
Keeping you connected to what's most important since 1955.
Farmers, it's go season, and Bruna Implement, your local Case IH dealer, is as ready as you are to ensure this harvest season goes smoothly. Their team of technicians is working extra hours to reduce downtime and get you back in the fields, because Bruna Implement was built by farmers for farmers. Bruna Implement, your local Case IH dealer in Washington, Marysville, Clay Center, Seneca, Hiawatha, and Humboldt, Nebraska, wishing you a safe and prosperous harvest.
On your way to the game or on the ride home from the game, stop by McDonald's in Seneca or Hiawatha for a meal or just for a snack. There's a variety of delicious items to choose from on their menu, and you can get them to go. Why cook before or after the game? Stop in for your favorite drink or ice cream treat, like a McFlurry or an ice cream cone. Or one of your favorite sandwich, like a Big Mac or a Quarter Pounder. Whether you're headed to or from the game, stop by McDonald's in Hiawatha or Seneca.
Hello, this is Dr. Brett Lukert from Lukert Chiropractic and Wellness. Nutrition is so important when it comes to our health. This is why I became a certified chiropractic wellness practitioner. Patients need to be educated on how to eat healthy and how to avoid toxic inflammatory foods, because every time we eat, we're either converting our food to energy or storing it as fat. Foods that cause high blood sugar ultimately are what lead to obesity and diabetes. But these conditions are treatable and often reversible with proper nutritional intervention. Call Lukert Chiropractic and Wellness at 284-0088 to learn how today.
This is Mitch Ottmer, Regional Market President for Nemaw County at Community National Bank. As Regional Market President, my primary focus is the lending departments in both Seneca and Sabetha. And in Nemaw County, our biggest thing we do is ag lending. I think people want to come see us because I do have a lot of experience. I've been here 17 years. Come see me for help financing your farm, business, or purchasing your next home. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Time for our next segment here on the MSC Sports Radio Network. Every week we ask, was your team doing the rocking, or were you getting rocked? Back here on the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show with Jake and Boz. I'm Jake, and that's Bozzy over there. Nice North Dakota sweatshirt, man. Looks good.
That's right, it does, for sure.
Bright green.
Bright green.
You going to compliment my sweatshirt?
No.
No.
What is that?
Get out of
here. It's two bad things. It's Ravens and it's purple.
Oh, my gosh. What about the scores, bud? What you got?
All right, let's get through these. Clifton Clyde at Bennington. Clifton Clyde gets the victory 58-18. Frankfurt 62-14 over Hanover. Axtell all over Donovan West 78-8. Jeff County North, they get a win tonight over Mission Valley 68-7. St. Mary's takes it to McLouth 53-7. St. Mary's, we got to talk about them here in a little bit.
Yeah, we do.
St. Mary's is on a roll, playing really, really good football. Troy, they get the victory over Riverside, 26-14. Jackson Heights, they take it to Onega, 46-0. Smith Center gets the win over Valley Heights. That was a big one tonight. We thought Valley Heights might come out on top in that game, but Smith Center gets the victory, 34-22. ACCHS, they fall at Silver Lake. A little bit of a surprise on this score as well. Silver Lake 72.
Yeah.
ACCHS 0.
Yo!
Tough night for
the Tigers.
Rossville, they get the victory over Moore Hill, Mount Academy 64-0. Nemaha Central 28-0 over Sabetha. Holton gets the win over Jeff West 61-7. Royal Valley, they win against Perry LeCompton 23-14. Clay Center gets a victory against Marysville 55-7. Atchison, they stay perfect tonight with a win over Wyandotte 66-7. Centralia defeats Pleasant Ridge 46-7. And the last score we've got, Hayden. They defeated Hiawatha 56-7.
So who do we need, man?
Still missing a couple here. We're getting there. Washington County at Rock Hills. Lynn at Blue Valley. Oskaloosa at Valley Falls.
Yeah.
And Wabunsee at Horton. So we're down to four.
It's not bad.
Not bad. We're getting there.
Slowly but steady.
Yeah. If we missed your score, call and let us know.
785-547-3461. The Giant Communications Hotline is open for you to give us those scores. Again, 785-547-3461. If you want to call and chime in yet, go right ahead. Give us a call, and we'll put you on the air, just like we put Randy on a minute ago. He talked about the Care Paravel Lions with their win tonight. And again, you want to talk about your team, brag on them a little bit, give us a call. 785-547-3461. The Giant Communications Hotline is open for you, and they're always open for business for you as well. Whether it's for residential or business, visit giantcomm.net and just enter in your address of your business or your home to see what they can offer for you with their services. Well, we've got, again, we dove into our game of the week, which again was an Nemaha County rivalry, the Thunder. Roll on, and our district champions again, and Big 7 League champions again. We'll make sure to go through all the Big 7, or it's not just Big 7, all the league champions as well throughout the evening here tonight. But we got a chance now, boss, to get into some recaps for some of these games. We're talking about the Nemaha County rivalry, Sabetha, Nemaha. We've got that recap as Brandon Tadman had the call tonight in Sabetha, and it was won again. A lot of hype coming into it. Final score doesn't always dictate how well the game went.
The most anticipated matchup in the state of Kansas on Friday night in the regular season finale pitted the top two teams in 2A as it was number one Nemaha Central at number two Sabetha. Big 7 and district titles on the line, and number one Nemaha Central showed out. 28-0 their win as they improved to 8-0, their 21st consecutive win and 7th straight shutout victory. Both teams struggling a little bit on offense in the first half as Nemaha Central quarterback Carter Hike had the lone score in the first two quarters. A 6-yard touchdown run made it 7-0 late in the first period, which capped off a 68-yard drive. Both teams with a back-and-forth issue of punts and such and turnover on downs, which led to a 7-0 halftime lead for Nemaha Central. Early on, first possession of the third quarter for Sabetha, they were stuffed on fourth down and one, gave it back to Nemaha Central, and at that point, Thunder, in their next three drives, found the end zone all three times. First one, 58-yard drive, capped off by Carter Hike finding Caleb Strothman for a 19-yard score, made it 14-0, and then early in the fourth quarter, after a Sabetha punt, it was Hike on an 11-yard run, 21-0 at that point, and then Sabetha would turn it over on downs, give it back to Nemaha Central, and a one-play 58-yard drive really cemented the victory. Caleb Strothman, who had a big night, 58 yards on an end-around, 28-0, that was the final dagger, and Nemaha Central, number one, looking to defend now their state title heading into the postseason next week. Some of the stats in this game, 305 to 125 was the total yards in favor of Nemaha Central. The rushing numbers, 255 to 69. The Thunder defense, which has not allowed a point since week one, held the Sabetha rushing attack to just 69 yards and 2.4 yards per carry. The Sabetha rushing attack was averaging 280 per game coming in and 39 points per game. But the Thunder defense, legit and no joke. Carter Hike was our player of the game. 30 carries for 146 yards and two scores. He was 4 of 6 passing for 50 yards, a touchdown as well. And then Caleb Strothman, also a nice night. 3 carries, 71 yards, and a touchdown, 4 catches, 50 yards, and a score as well. Again, number one Nemaha Central, a 28-0 win at number two Sabetha, 21st consecutive win for the Thunder, 8-0 going into the playoffs next week, Sabetha dropping their first game here in 2023 as Nemaha Central, the Big 7, and district champs as they do it again for a second consecutive season. Again, the final score from the most anticipated matchup in the state, number one, Nemaha Central, 28. Number two, Sabetha, nothing. I'm Brandon Tadman reporting for the High School Scoreboard Show.
Thanks, Brandon. Again, 28-0, Nemaha with the win there. Let's stay in the Big 7 League, and we'll trickle down on 75 Highway South. Let's go to Holton as they hosted Jeff West tonight. The Wildcats trying to bounce back against the Tigers tonight after their loss to Hayden last week. Can they end their district season on a winning note?
It was complete domination in the regular season finale as the Houlton Wildcats steamrolled Jeff West 61-7. The Houlton Wildcats scored touchdowns on their first 9 offensive drives of the night. Their 10th offensive drive ended in a kneel down to end the game. The entire second half was played with a running clock as Houlton led 20-0 at the end of one quarter, and the Wildcats were up 48-0 at halftime. Houlton got 2 rushing touchdowns from Abbott Hunley. Kyler Jackson had a 23-yard touchdown run. Bodie Dillon had a 48-yard touchdown run, getting the start at quarterback. He also had a 23-yard touchdown pass to Jackson Bear. Dalton Roush picked up an offensive fumble and returned it 13 yards for a Houlton touchdown, while Kel Hine added a 33-yard TD run, Alec Frazier a 43-yard touchdown run, and Corbin Wilson a 30-yard touchdown run. Houlton had 8 different players score, and they had 7 different players rush for over 40 yards. The Wildcats totaled 514 yards on the ground. They had 20 first downs in the first half alone. The Wildcats even the record at 4-4 and will open the postseason hosting Bishop Ward again next week. Meanwhile, Jeff West falls to 1-7. They'll have a game for pride for the third straight year against Osawatomie next week. The Tigers did finish with 144 yards total offense, just 14 yards rushing. Tucker Holthaus was 14 of 29 for 130 yards passing, with Brody Boyer having 7 catches for 76 yards and the lone Jeff West touchdown on a 3-yard grab with 5:11 left to go in the game. Again, the final score, Houlton 61, Jeff West 7. Wildcats led by Abbott Hunley with 122 yards, but a lot of balance after that. And that's your recap from Houlton on the MSC Sports Radio Network. I'm Justin Fluke reporting.
Hey, thanks, Fluke. And once again, Houlton 61-7. Let's stay in the Big 7 League. Hiawatha, they took a long road trip tonight down 75 to the capital city to take on the Hayden Wildcats. Seth Tollefson has a recap.
The Hiawatha Redhawks finished up their regular season on the road tonight in Topeka as they were in town to take on the Wildcats of Houlton. It was all Hayden on offense to begin the game as their starting quarterback, number 7, Jet Wallmeyer, he had a total of 5 touchdown passes in the first half as it was all Wildcats at the break, 49-0. Wallmeyer had nearly 300 yards passing in this ball game. Hiawatha in the second half would go 4 and out on their first possession, but then on the next possession, it was a big play for the senior, number 13, Caden Morton. He would get the interception and take it to the house, a 53-yard pick 6 for the senior to give Hiawatha their first score of the game. It would be Hayden also getting into the end zone one more time as time would expire on a running clock to finish out that game. Your final score, it was Hayden 56, Hiawatha 7. Again, reporting from the capital city, I'm Seth Tollefson reporting for the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Hey, thanks, Seth. And let's stay down south, shall we? We'll go to Jackson Heights at Onega. Crendon Prophet has a recap. The Cobras trying to end this regular season on a winning note.
Hello, everybody. It's Crendon Prophet down here at the Onega Field going on a nice walk while I talk. Summarizing this year game, Jackson Heights Cobras dominating 46-0 over the Onega Buffaloes. The Cobras came in striking. To start off the game, the Jackson Heights Cobras won the toss. They elected to defer to start the game. They decided to offside kick it, so they actually wound up getting the offside kick, meaning they started the game in the first half with the ball, and in the second half, the Jackson Heights Cobras, however, on that first drive, did not score as a turnover on downs. But since that turnover on downs, they had 6 straight touchdowns on 6 straight possessions. It went like this. It was Josh Smith who scored, and then it was Weston Chulion, and then it was Drake Mellis. And guess what? The pattern continued back to Josh Smith, then back to Weston Chulion, and then it finished with Drake Mellis. That's the only scores of the game that there was. 2 touchdowns total for Josh, 2 total for Weston, and 2 total for Drake Mellis. The Jackson Heights Cobras held the Buffaloes scoreless in the game, and the Buffaloes on fourth down conversions were 1-for-5 and had a total of 5 turnover on downs. Both teams had 8 possessions total throughout the game, but that is your summary, folks. Jackson Heights Cobras coming out on top of Onega Buffaloes 46-0. Jackson Heights finishing the season 7-1, looking to go into the postseason with some fire underneath their belts. This is Crittenden Prophet. That is all.
All right, Crittenden. I love the excitement from Crittenden Prophet every single week, don't you?
He's excited. Always excited about it.
He loves his Cobra Pride. The dude just straight gets it as a broadcaster. I love it. Absolutely love it. He says the Cobra's got some confidence underneath their belts heading into the postseason, 7-1. All right, let's check out what happened out of Mission Valley. Tom Couts, Gus Couts had JCN, the Chargers, taking on the Vikings on 93.7 KAIR.
Jefferson County North wrapped up week 8 in the regular portion of the high school football season tonight down in Eskridge, Kansas. They were hosted by Mission Valley, and they dominated. 9 possessions, 9 touchdowns, and JCN wins the ballgame 68-7. Great performances up and down the line for the Chargers. How about Connor Kearns? He had 4 touchdowns on the night, runs of 49, 26, and 5 yards, and a 37-yard reception. And add to that, a Connor Kearns interception. Ethan Knoll, 3 touchdowns, 41-yard run, and touchdown catches of 14 and 58 yards. Quarterback Grady Knoll threw 3 TD passes. Merrick Knoll came in the second half, scored twice himself, 1 from 10 yards out and 1 from 2. JCN, 7-1 overall, 4-1 in district play. And now we'll see where next week takes the Chargers. But again, final regular season game on the road. It was all JCN. Chargers knock off Mission Valley 68-7. Tom Couch reporting for the MSC Sports Radio Network.
All right, Tom, thanks a lot. Now let's go to Boz. One of the, again, aside from Nemaha Sabetha, probably the biggest game of the week in Class 1A as Valley Heights hosted Smith Center.
Yeah, that was a big one.
A game that we, again, Valley Heights, a team that we were kind of high on, and they take on Smith Center tonight for a district title.
Yeah, big game.
Let's figure out what happened.
Valley Heights loses at home, final score 34-22 in their finale in the district championship, Class 1, District number 5. All started with Smith Center scoring on their first drive of the ball game after getting a stop. It was a 2-yard rushing touchdown with 2:40 to go in the first quarter. In response, Valley Heights made a couple mistakes. They had to punt it away after a bad penalty. They also had to punt after a fumble as well early on in this one. But they did get their first score of the game on a Kaysen Bigham 21-yard rushing touchdown to even it up 8-6. They got a 2-point conversion, and that would be the score going into the half. However, with 5 minutes left to go in the quarter, the officials blew a play dead. That was a fumble by Smith Center that was returned by Valley Heights' Jaden DeWalt for a touchdown. They negated the play and ended up giving the Smith Center Redmen the ball back. And he not able to score on that drive. In fact, after that, Valley Heights had another opportunity to score, but it was an interception in the end zone from senior quarterback Carson Spoons through the hands of Caden Dummermuth, and it was picked off by McKenzie, the cornerback from Smith Center, to get it 8-6 going into the half. And out of the second half, Smith Center scored right out of the gun. Then Valley Heights, on their first possession, well, they weren't able to get it right out of the gate because it was a fumble on a kickoff return picked up by Jaden DeWalt at the 8-yard line. He ran backwards. He could probably let it go out of bounds. He pitched it to the 3-yard line, and it was fumbled and recovered by Smith Center in the end zone. And that gave Smith Center a bunch of momentum to put them up 18-8. They scored on their following drive after getting another stop. It wasn't until Valley Heights got a passing touchdown of 38 yards from Carson Spoons to Logan Gray on a 4th-and-8 that would give them some momentum back to make it 18-16 to make it interesting once again. But Smith Center, they marched the ball right down the field with a solid running attack that's worked so well all season long and scored, making it 26-16. They got a stop, another touchdown in garbage time. Valley Heights responded with another garbage touch time of their own to get it 34-22 as your final score. Good effort this season from Valley Heights. They finished 6-2, overall 3-1 in district play. Smith Center, they are now 7-1, and they go 4-0, and they win the district. We await to see who they play in the playoffs, but for now, that is all here from Blue Rapids. This is Jared Sleppy from the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Thanks, Jared. Again, Valley Heights falls to Smith Center and gets second now in that district in a game, again, Boz, that we were really excited for Valley Heights, the Mustangs, to maybe pull off that win and win that district title.
Yeah, well, we talk about it all the time, every week, the importance of winning the district and how it sets you up for playoffs. So that's one that it's going to hurt a little bit, but it's not the end of the season. They'll be fine.
We're going to go through everything, matchups, looking ahead at next week. We got to get to a break, though, before that. Got to make sure we thank all of our sponsors for making all this possible. You're listening to the MSC Sports Radio Network, the Scoreboard Show, presented by Community National Bank with Jake and Boz. Hanging out with you on a nice Friday evening. Come back with us. We got more to get to next.
Market declines, unemployment, oil prices. Today's headlines can be scary. Hi, I'm Edward Jones, financial advisor Jeff Russell. I'll work with you to help you understand the impact of short-term events and how to be positioned for the long term. We provide the tools for a reasoned, disciplined approach to investing. Don't let headlines derail your long-term financial strategy. Stop by my office in Sabetha, or Brad Edwards in Hiawatha, or Shannon Wright's in Holton. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
At Giant Communications, we have internet speeds of up to 1 gigabyte per second. We know how essential high-speed internet is for your work, entertainment, and staying connected with loved ones. That's why we're here to transform your online experience.
No more staring at loading screens. No more interruptions during your favorite shows, and no more video game lag. Join the thousands of satisfied customers who have already embraced the future of internet connectivity with Giant Communications. Experience the freedom of seamless online existence. Say goodbye to slow internet and hello to the future. Contact Giant Communications today.
Keeping you connected to what's most important since 1955.
People, products, knowledge. We have it all for you at Helena Agri Enterprises. Our team has resources to provide our producers with the top brands and services. Specialized nutrients, seed and seed treatments, financial services, and precision ag services and software. We also offer our own line of products, adjuvants, bioscience products, branded fertilizers, nutritionals, and many more. Customer service and success is our goal. Let our local staff show you what we can do for you at Helen Agri Enterprises in Seneca, Centralia, Bern, and Home City.
Hi, this is Carly with BNP Propane. At BNP Propane, we want you to experience the utmost safety and climate friendliness with propane. Its clean nature minimizes emissions, ensuring a greener planet. Discover the versatility of propane in outdoor fire pits, tiki torches, grills, and generators, making every outdoor moment special. Choose BNP Propane for a sustainable lifestyle and unforgettable outdoor experiences. Call us at 785-364-3711 to learn more about how we can help you enjoy the great outdoors.
American Family Insurance.
As your American Family Insurance agent in Holton, I'm looking out for what matters most to you, even when nothing's wrong. This is Brad Noller, agent. Call me at 785-364-3302 and let's talk about your insurance needs today. Contact Brad Noller, agent at 364-3302 or stop by one of our three locations on the Holton Square or Topeka today.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Denison State Bank, putting your interest at heart.
When you see those commercials on TV from the big global banks, remember, they don't give a hoot about you or us here in Kansas. Instead, when you bank in your hometown, your money stays in the local economy and it recirculates many times over.
Denison State Bank, putting your interest at heart.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show on the MSC Sports Radio Network. Happy Friday to you, Bozzy.
Yeah, I love it.
We've got 63 degrees outside. We've got great games that happen tonight. Let's go through the scores again, man.
Let's get these scores to you. Clifton Clyde victorious over Bennington 58-18.
Eagles.
Yeah, let's go. Frankfort, 62-14. That was one I was curious about.
Wildcats against Wildcats, buddy.
Yep, they improved to 6-2 on the season, get the win over Hanover. Axtell defeated Donovan West 78-8. Blue Valley, they defeated Lynn 70-44. Jeff County North takes it to Mission Valley tonight 68-7. St. Mary's on a roll. They defeat McLeod 53-7. Troy, they are victorious at Riverside 26-14. Jackson Heights, they shut out Onega 46-0. Smith Center gets the big win over Valley Heights. That was a big win, 34-22. Silver Lake flat took it to ACCHS tonight, 72-0. Silver Lake, scary team. We'll probably talk about them here in a little bit when we go into playoffs. Rossville victorious over Marhill Mount Academy, 64-0. Nemaha Central, battle of number one and number two in the state. Nemaha Central defeats Sabetha 28-0.
Buzz.
Yo,
would you say the Thunder rolls?
The Thunder is definitely rolling.
All right, good.
Just clear that up.
Just wanted to make sure. Yeah,
if it was a question mark.
Yeah, question mark.
All right, moving on. Holton defeats Jeff West tonight 61-7. Royal Valley, they get the victory over Perry LeCompton 23-14. Clay Center takes to Marysville 55-7. They improved to 7-1. Clay Center, a team to watch out for in Class 3A. Atchison remains perfect, 8-0 in the regular season. They defeat Wyandotte 66-7. Centralia victorious over Pleasant Ridge 46-7. Hayden defeated Hiawatha 56-7. And Wabunsee defeated Horton 30-0.
All right, that was a look at your scores. Again, you're hanging out on the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show with Jake, with Boz, and we got B-Tad in the building.
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, okay.
You just wanted to make sure. Yeah, turn my mic down a little bit. tell me,
B-Tad, you were doing the game tonight on Nemoha and Sabetha.
Yes,
and
sir.
A lot of the prep work coming into it, you talked about it a lot in your game of man, it's a big-time matchup, best matchup in the state, arguably. Do you think it lived up to the billing?
It's hard to say. 28-0, you look at it, and you see the score. And I don't think – and we talked about it on the broadcast a little bit. It's like, you know, most of the rankings have Sabetha at number two, depending on which ones you look at. But right. We like to go through K-Preps. I consider that kind of the AP poll. You know, I don't think they –
I like
they,
that.
I don't think they should be dropped.
Right.
Nemoha Central is just in a class way above everybody else,
yeah.
And this was actually my first time seeing them this year. We had their entire playoff run for the most part last year. You know, we had, you know, got a chance to do the state championship game. They had lost some good talent, but brought back plenty of talent. The fact that they've been as dominant as Kurt the Man doing the Lord's work over here, continuing to run around from studio to studio, got to give him a shout-out, of course, but the dominance that they have shown, I think, is just unmatched.
Yeah.
And seeing it finally in person tonight, and so, and we talked about it in the pregame, I think you could argue interior line, those are the top two in 2A.
Yeah.
Size, athleticism, senior heavy, years of experience. You got three or four guys combined on both sides that I'm not going to say are total D1 level, but you got guys who are going to play or could play at the next level.
Sure.
Thunder dominated the line of scrimmage. They were living in the backfield. Carter Hike, only a sophomore, is absurd to me. And if you heard my pregame with head coach Michael Glatzik, you know, I obviously asked about him. His brother Cooper was the running back last year, broke school records, 2,000 plus yards, 40 plus touchdowns, and then you put Carter in as a sophomore at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And the same numbers are basically still there. And he had referenced, Coach Glatzik did in the pregame, it's like, oh, we knew this guy was a stud in eighth grade. Like, no.
Yeah.
He's like, he could have played varsity in eighth grade. Like, we knew it. And I'm just like, yeah. And he started on defense for him last year as a freshman.
Right.
But there were just seniors in front of him. Like, he really didn't have to do a whole lot on offense. He carried the ball sporadically, but if any team can bounce back, it's Sabetha.
Sure.
I don't think there's any doubt. Coach Michael, incredible job over there. But the one thing about Sabetha is their path to getting to that sub-state round
tough.
Is going to be a little bit tougher
yeah.
than I think last year's was.
Yeah.
I mean, the matchups in the first round are going to be the same. On paper, again, Sabetha and Nemoha should both roll, get past that week 9 game.
I don't know if you can say roll right there because, I mean,
when the Thunder
that's
roll.
The Thunder, right,
yeah,
right.
Well.
I mean, Sabetha, Sabetha fans right now, they might be saying, come on, B-10.
No. It's
welcome to the scoreboard show, man.
Silver Lake, potentially in the second round,
sure.
Would be a tough out.
That's a scary matchup.
That's a very athletic team.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're going to be in the same league next year.
Right.
Of course, the Big East League is becoming a thing, but
I love that name.
Are we going to be shocked? I mean, if there was a line in Vegas on the odds of Sabetha and Nemoha meeting again
yeah.
in sub-state, I think it would be a minus number.
Oh, yeah. Minus 110, 115.
The thing about
highly favored
Nemoha Central, again, was the dominance up front. That's what stood out. I mentioned the stats in my recap. You know, Sabetha was actually averaging more yards per game. Not as
right.
many points, but they were very similar. More rushing yards per game, more yards per carry. And Carter Hike is 90% of the offensive production, and it doesn't matter when you know it or not, and
right.
they can just still push you off the ball, and they're going to get 4 or 5, especially all those drives in the second half. It was just 4 or 5 yards every play.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a couple big runs, but I mean, Sabetha did about as good as you could.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part. And that was one of the lighter games Carter Hike has had. He's been over 100 yards in all but one game. And it was 30 carries for 140 yards. Like, that's still really good.
Another day at the office.
But Sabetha was averaging well over 6 yards a carry and 280 yards on the ground. They were held to under 3 yards per carry and just 69 yards.
Yeah.
That's the thing that stands out to me. When you start looking at Nemaha Central and Sabetha, two top-ranked teams, Nemaha Central averaging 43 points a game, Sabetha putting up 37 points per game, and Nemaha Central absolutely establishes their defensive dominance and pitches another shutout.
Seven straight.
Yeah, and that play in the first half, it's not like Sabetha couldn't get stops. Obviously, there was the three straight drives, three touchdowns, but again, that first half when Bauman threw the interception, they had it first and 10 at the 14 when it was 7-0. Yeah. Sabetha's defense got the stop. They forced a turnover on downs, and it was a 7-0 game at the half. And you mentioned, I listened to it on the way over here, but again, yeah, that turning point, first drive of the second half, they had it fourth and one, they were in plus territory.
Yep.
They didn't get it farther than the Nemaha Central 37. And the only reason they were that close was that drive late in the first half, that final drive, they got there because of a pass interference penalty.
True, yeah.
So, yeah, they a couple times were on the other side of the field in Nemaha Central territory, but they were nowhere inside the 35. So they really never threatened. And Sabetha hasn't really been a big play team. They just grind it and punch it, and they're going to get 5-6 yards a carry with four different backs every week.
Mm-hmm.
I think a big part of it also was the fact that Marcus Bauman has been playing quarterback the last couple weeks. Mitchell Kramer got hurt his hand. So that was kind of a questionable thing going in because, I mean, Sabetha puts up a little bit of yards through the air here and there. Kramer's been pretty efficient when he's had to throw it, but when you put Bauman at quarterback, who's a sensational athlete, you also take your best receiver off the field.
And he can spin it, too. I was impressed by the way he
could spin it. All-league receiver last year. He had a couple of good throws. The one thing I would say is they arguably have the best tight end in the state in Christian McAfee. And he is a big play threat. But the times that they went to him, Bauman was just running for his life.
Yeah.
Again,
the
trenches was the key in this game, and you noticed it.
Gonzalez was amazing tonight.
And also a huge play in that game, I don't know if you guys talked about it, was that punt right late in the first half.
Yep.
Gonzalez was backed up inside his own 10. This was, again, second quarter, 7-0 game. Sabetha had gotten a stop. He drops the snap, fumbles it, and gets it away and gets drilled.
Yeah.
And got it to the other half of the field. It was about a 45-yard punt.
Yeah.
And that's could have been a scenario where he doesn't get that off. That could be a blocked or punt, six points right there for Sabetha. All of a sudden, it's a 7-7 game going into the half. He gets it to the other side of the field, and obviously, again, Nemaha Central's defense able to hold. Penalties didn't hurt or didn't help Sabetha on that drive.
Yeah.
But for as bad as it was, as far as three punts and a turnover in the first half, Sabetha was only down 7-0.
Their defense was
doing just fine.
Yeah.
But I think in the second half, again, it's not that Nemaha Central is just big up front. Those guys move.
Yeah, they do.
Fast. And there's a reason these are 3-4-year starters, and it's a different beast. And this is a team that is certainly favored to get back to it.
Sure.
I'm surprised at the dominance, for sure, considering the talent that they lost.
I think that that's definitely something that we've talked about a lot this year is, you know, we're talking like Axtell with their dominance over the last few years, Nemaha with their winning streak that they've got. How can these teams maintain, reload, and get it back going? And you got to start with the top. You got to start with Coach Detweiler. You got to start with Coach Glatzik and what they do in the offseason. Get these kids ready because it's reload and re-go, man. Like, there is no drop-off from these teams that are just, again, just dominating right now.
And the crazy thing about Axtell is they're like one of the smallest schools.
Yeah.
Like,
they
even,
the
eight,
kids,
even in the eight-man ranks, oh, grass-fed. No doubt. But, like, in terms of class size, Axtell's like one of the smallest schools in the state, but everyone that plays sports are just good at everything.
Yeah.
That's even more impressive, and it's awesome now since Andale lost that game last week that we got the top two active winning streaks in our area with Axtell and Nemaha Central.
Yeah.
I didn't see if Wichita County won their game, but they were tied, another eight-man team with Nemaha Central going into tonight. It's hard to say who's more dominant. I mean, we got I mean, even outside of Nemaha Central and Sabetha and Axtell, of course, like, we got some area teams who can make some deep runs.
Dude,
you guys
absolutely.
Have been heavy on Jeff County North.
Yep.
I think they can make a good run.
Yep.
Valley Heights, despite losing tonight,
mm-hmm.
they rush for 300 yards a game.
Right.
You know, they can make a deep run in 1A. Centralia, of course, they're not going anywhere.
Yep, Jackson Heights, I think they're going to meet up, but potentially against Centralia in the postseason. Winner of that can, you know, make a deep run. Again, you're also looking at some of the areas like even like a Holton, you know, a team that once you look at their path, they've got a real shot in 3A.
And we did that game last week
yeah.
at Hayden, who's number 3 in the state yeah. and undefeated. And
yeah.
granted, they didn't have their best player, but Holton outgained them in that game.
They had opportunity.
Had more drives, but just turnovers and penalties hurt them in that game. They clearly could have won that game. They outgained Hayden in that game. But again, yeah, you can. Holton's just a school that's going to reload. They lost a ton of talent, obviously, that got to a title game. But, yeah, as you mentioned, that's a team that can easily win 3 games, you know, make a quarterfinal, semifinal kind of run.
Yep.
I know you've been talking about our Phoenix.
That's right.
Oh,
that's right.
The thing about them is, it's kind of the same scenario last year.
Yep.
The Meadowlark Conference isn't all that great. It's been a little bit down.
Right.
They have dominated that conference the last 2 years. Highland Park's really good.
Yep.
They got a couple kids who I think are getting kind of Division I offers, but dominated them a few weeks ago. But last year they went undefeated, got to the playoffs, and saw a team like St. James Academy,
right.
who's no joke, who St.
Sure.
James is playing 5A and 6A week in and week out. So
right.
I'm not sure how 4A is stacking up, but I mean, Atchison's good enough. They've had the number one scoring offense in 4A, I think, all season.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's definitely something that we're going to keep our eyes on. Brandon, you good with hanging out with us for another segment
you know.
Or so? Huh? We'll see.
We're living the dream.
All right, you're listening to the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show here on the MSC Sports Radio Network. We got to thank some more of our sponsors for making this show possible, I think. Let's get to a break. When we come back, we're going to dive into next week's matchups, what the playoffs look like. We're back after this on the MSC Sports Radio Network. Jake and Boz and B-Tad.
At Giant Communications, we have internet speeds of up to 1 gigabyte per second. We know how essential high-speed internet is for your work, entertainment, and staying connected with loved ones. That's why we're here to transform your online experience.
No more staring at loading screens. No more interruptions during your favorite shows, and no more video game lag. Join the thousands of satisfied customers who have already embraced the future of internet connectivity with Giant Communications. Experience the freedom of seamless online existence. Say goodbye to slow internet and hello to the future. Contact Giant Communications today.
Keeping you connected to what's most important since 1955.
This is Dorsey Hall. Community National Bank means to me customer service for local customers. We have a great staff that know the community. They know our customers by name. They're able to help them, and we're able to provide more service in a uncomplicated way. When a customer walks through the door, we want them to be greeted with a smile and a hello and know that we are truly caring about serving them.
You feel right at home.
Hi, this is Carly with BNP Propane. At BNP Propane, we want you to experience the utmost safety and climate friendliness with propane. Its clean nature minimizes emissions, ensuring a greener planet. Discover the versatility of propane in outdoor fire pits, tiki torches, grills, and generators, making every outdoor moment special. Choose BNP Propane for a sustainable lifestyle and unforgettable outdoor experiences. Call us at 785-364-3711 to learn more about how we can help you enjoy the great outdoors.
Farmers, it's go season, and Bruna Implement, your local Case IH dealer, is as ready as you are. To ensure this harvest season goes smoothly, their team of technicians is working extra hours to reduce downtime and get you back in the fields, because Bruna Implement was built by farmers for farmers. Bruna Implement, your local Case IH dealer in Washington, Marysville, Clay Center, Seneca, Hiawatha, and Humboldt, Nebraska, wishing you a safe and prosperous harvest.
Hello, this is Dr. Brett Luker from Luker Chiropractic and Wellness. After almost 20 years in practice, I am convinced that optimal health really comes down to one word, discipline. Are we disciplined enough to say no to junk food when it's right in front of us? Are we disciplined enough to exercise when it's so much easier not to? Are we disciplined enough to embrace an attitude of gratitude despite the challenges we all face? Being disciplined may not be the easy way, but it's the healthy way. Call Luker Chiropractic and Wellness at 284-0088 and let us help you start developing this discipline today.
This is Mitch Ottmer, Regional Market President for Nemaw County at Community National Bank. As Regional Market President, my primary focus is the lending departments in both Seneca and Sabetha. And in Nemaw County, our biggest thing we do is ag lending. I think people want to come see us because I do have a lot of experience. I've been here 17 years. Come see me for help financing your farm, business, or purchasing your next home. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're rolling on here on the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show. You're hanging out with Jake and Foz on a Friday night. Week 8, regular season. Shut the door on it, Bozzy.
All right.
Done.
Yep, it's over. I can't even believe it. The season's gone by so fast.
Very quick. Very, very quick. And give us our scores one final time. We're still missing one game that is extremely important for us to talk about in our next segment in Oskaloosa Valley Falls. So if you have that final score of Oskaloosa Valley Falls, please give us a call, 785-547-3461. The Giant Communications hotline is open for you on that. We're also going to get into our Lucre Chiropractic and Wellness game ball nominees here in a minute. But, Boz, give us our scores, please.
All right, one last time. Clifton Clyde victorious over Bennington, 58-18. Frankfurt gets the win over Hanover, 62-14. Axtell takes it to Donovan West, 78-8. Lynn, they fall to Blue Valley, 70-44. Jeff County North gets the victory against Mission Valley, 68-7. St. Mary's, they are victorious over McLeod, 53-7. Troy defeats Riverside, 26-14. Jackson Heights shuts out Onega, 46-0. Smith Center gets the win in a close game over Valley Heights, 34-22. Silver Lake, they shut out ACCHS, 72-0. We're on a string of shutouts here. Rossville shuts out Mar Hill Mount Academy, 64-0. Nemaha Central shut out Sabetha tonight, 28-0. Holton victorious over Jeff West, 61-7. Royal Valley, they get the victory over Perry LeCompton, 23-14. Clay Center, they defeated Marysville, 55-7. Atchison, still undefeated, 8-0. They defeat Wyandotte, 66-7. Centralia gets the win over Pleasant Ridge, 46-7. Hayden, they defeat Hiawatha, 56-7. Wabunsee gets the win 30-0 over Horton. And we just got the Oskaloosa.
Yeah, you did.
Valley Falls score. Oskaloosa gets the win 37-6.
Big time win. We're going to talk why that is such a big time win here in just a second. You're hanging out with Jake and Boz and Brandon Tadman joining us as well here this evening. And B-Tad had a great game, and on the west side here of our studios, and on his way home, he just decided to pop in, and we're glad you're joining with us, man.
Hey, were we still missing a score?
We were missing
Rock Hills, Washington
yes,
County.
Yes,
40-0, Rock Hills.
There we go.
40-0, Rock Hills.
That is why we have B-Tad hanging out with
gotcha.
Us right now. Did you know that, B-Tad? That's why we had you?
To just figure out just who won between Rock Hills and Washington County? Yes.
Yes, that is the reason why you're hanging out with us here tonight.
You know how many times I've driven by the station on the way home from a game, and just finally I'm just like,
I'm glad you did.
Got nothing else going on. So,
that's right. Yeah. Check out what's going on. You got a big day tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit about that here.
Substate Volleyball.
In a little bit, yeah, with Substate Volleyball. We've got that on a wide variety of our networks tomorrow. Big time Substate Volleyball tomorrow. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. Let's go straight into, guys. We know week 8 now. We know the conclusion of week 8. Regular season is done. Playoff football is here. Next week, week number 1 of the postseason. I'm going to start us in 8-man division number 2. But before we get into it, Lucre Chiropractic and Wellness game ball nominees have come in a few different ones. If you want to nominate somebody for having a great game tonight, again, last week we had a nominee of somebody that said they had a lot of tackles. That's great. You don't have to have statistics for us. But, Bozzy, who do we got for our Lucre Chiropractic and Wellness game ball nominees?
All right, we need some more nominations for sure. We've got two tonight. Out of Valley Heights, Carson Spoons. He had a good game, 116 passing yards. Got two touchdowns with that. So
he's a former winner, too. He's on a lot.
He was player of the week here
just this last week.
Right?
That's right.
Five touchdowns in their win over Wabunsee.
Yeah, so Carson Spoons had a heck of a game. And then out of Hiawatha, Caden Morton.
Shout out, Caden.
This young man's senior year playing Hayden tonight. Hiawatha's had a tough season.
Yep.
He got a 53-yard pick six tonight against Hayden.
Way to the house.
Cap off his senior season.
Absolutely.
He's also a good basketball player.
Yeah. He's got that around the corner.
He's pretty tall.
Is he taller than you and I?
Oh, yeah. Come on, Alex.
I think
we're just barely above the national average. So. Well,
but hey, that's above the national average, though.
Yeah.
All right, we got two nominees. We would like to get some more. If you want to nominate somebody, give Kurt a call, 785-547-3461. 785-547-3461, the Giant Communications hotline. When you need fast, reliable internet, look no further than Giant Communications online at giantcomm.net. Just enter in your address and you'll be able to find out what you need. I got them at my house and lightning quick speed, Giant Communications. Let's go eight-man Division II, fellas, and we can instantly look at the bracket. That bracket has been completed. And with the victory last week over Frankfort, Axtell wins that district in eight-man Division II. They're taking on Wakefield at home next week. For Frankfort, finishing second in that district after their win tonight over Hanover, they will take on a tough opponent in the Beloit St. John's Tipton team. Hanover falling to the third spot. They've got to hit the road next week, guys, to Lakeside Downs in that district. Let's start with Axtell really quickly here. Axtell has the 34-game winning streak, taking on a Wakefield team. Business as usual for the Eagles next week, yeah?
100%. I mean, Axtell, we've said it every week. We look at these scores come in. Axtell hasn't had a game that's gone much past halftime.
Since Care Paravel.
Exactly.
We heard from Randy Bond earlier tonight about that.
I think Axtell, they are just on a trajectory to get back to another state title. I don't see them tripping up against Wakefield in any way, any form or fashion.
Brandon, we got Frankfort against St. John's Tipton in a home game for the Wildcats. And you mentioned that might be a tough game.
Yeah, it's a Blue Jays team that's 2-6, but they've played a good schedule. I like, you guys have been talking about Frankfort all year. I know that, and they certainly can make a little bit of a run here. The thing that stands out about Axtell, the only thing that, I'm not going to say worries me about them, I'm not worried about them at all because I expect them to make a deep run, is the fact, as you mentioned, they've only played one game this year that's gone into like the second half, right? I mean, that Frankfort game went into the third quarter. The Care Paravel game, they got tested a little bit.
Care Paravel was a 60-44 final. And as we heard from Randy Bond earlier, again, recapping that game, it was a tie game in the third quarter.
Axtell could see, and I would think on paper, Axtell and Osborne could meet up here in the quarterfinals. Osborne's a 7-1 team, and they've been ranked pretty much the whole year. Their lone loss, they got upended by Hanover in week three, but that appears to be a quarterfinal matchup. Would it shock me if Axtell played one half of football in every game up until the state championship? Yeah, probably. I was fortunate enough my first year to call their state, that first state title game that they won in Newton. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun. You know, an Axtell team that replaced their quarterback in Isaac Detweiler, who, to my knowledge, again, from what we have seen, nobody in the state of Kansas in any classification has scored more touchdowns than him ever.
Yeah.
He scored like 100-some touchdowns
between
offense, defense, and special teams. But we knew Schmelzley was stepping in.
Brandon stepped in. I mean, maybe it's the first name. I don't know.
Team Brandon. Hanging in there.
Dude's
a tremendous athlete. Yeah. He was an athlete of the week as well early in the season. There's like a handful of athletes in multiple sports where it's
named
like
Brandon.
that I have kind of just written down. It's like, okay, this is someone I could use probably every week, and you try to kind of pick your battles with those.
Sure.
He is certainly on there. You know, he'll still throw for three touchdowns and rush for five, yet they play two quarters in a game.
Right.
It's pretty incredible. Obviously, Axtell, they're the top, the cream of the crop. I would be intrigued with the matchup with Osborne in the quarterfinals, but can Frankfort make a run?
Yeah.
Can some of these other teams win a few games? And I appreciate that caller who called in about Care Paravel, again, talking up, as you guys talk up eight-man football, because as of, you know, before I started here, I had never watched an eight-man game in my entire life.
It's different.
And it is a different animal. And when you get athletes like Axtell does, it's just impossible to stop.
Yeah.
I mean, we got Axtell going for a third straight title, Nemaha Central going for a second straight title.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of teams who can compete, but obviously it starts with Axtell, and everything else is everyone's just kind of battling out to maybe have an opportunity to play them.
No doubt. Eight-man Division One, Clifton Clyde, they get second in District Number 5. They are stapled as the runner-up. Did not get the final between Lincoln and El Saline. They could flip-flop in that district from first and third, but Clifton Clyde is locked in the runner-up position. They will take on Hill City next week at Clifton Clyde. Hill City, a 4-3 record on the season. And their other game has not gone final, so they very well could be 5-3, 4-4, unsure on that. But Clifton Clyde, a home game next week in that eight-man Division One. That Cara Paravel team we talked about earlier, again, fairly local team. We don't cover them by any stretch, but a fairly local team that doesn't get very much recognition, but they will be in on the same side. They're in the east, Clifton Clyde in the west. That potentially could be a matchup looking at down the line if they were up in Linden. Linden, definitely the favorite out of the west in the east, eight-man Division One. 1A. This is the one, fellas, that is extremely interesting to me, because we talked about why it was so important for us to get that last score, not the eight-man score we just got, not the Washington County score, guys, but the Oskaloosa Valley Falls game. Do you want to know why that was so important, Boz?
I do. Tell me why it's important.
Because if Oskaloosa was to win against Valley Falls by more than 15 points, Oskaloosa would backdoor their way into the playoffs into the postseason. You know, did they win tonight?
They did. They did win.
And what was that final?
37-6.
37-6.
My math's not great, but that's more than 15.
So do you understand what that means for McLeod Bulldogs?
They have dropped substantially.
They go from the 4 seed to the 5th, and they will miss the playoffs now because of that matchup a week ago and because they lost tonight against St. Mary's. So Oskaloosa, dump Bears!
Whew.
Sneak into the postseason out of District 3 in Class 1A.
We talked about it week after week, how important it is, these district games.
Yeah.
McLeod was rolling along. Everything's great. They stubbed their toe a couple weeks ago. We said, that's just a loss. They'll be fine. But we also said, you can't put your future in the hands of somebody else losing or you move. It just doesn't work that way. And McLeod, they're unfortunately feeling missing the playoffs.
No doubt. I mean, the best season that McLeod Bulldogs have had in a long time, nearly a decade. Best start that they've had in about a decade as well. And it's going to be a 5-3 regular season, Boz. And you don't make the postseason, that's gonna sting.
It's gonna sting, and they're gonna think about that for a while, because they really had their path laid out for the playoffs.
I
and
feel
finishing,
for them, man.
Oh, it's really tough way to end your season, because 2 weeks ago they probably shouldn't have dropped that game, and then tonight, I mean, because you know you got to face St. Mary's, and that's a tough one no matter any way you slice it. So McLeod just sitting in a great position. Now they're on the outside looking in.
St. Mary's the champion in this district, 5-0, perfect in the district, 5-3 overall. Boz, we wanted to talk about them a little bit earlier. They started this year 0-3, and Brandon, I remember you talking about it in fever about St. Mary's earlier on in the season. What was it, the only team in recent history?
I think they were the only team. I think the stat was they were the only team in the history of 1A to win a state title and then start the following season 0-3.
Yeah.
Well, talked about St. Mary's. I mean, that was a team that we looked at. Just knowing coming off of a state title,
Dubbers.
A little bit of a rebuilding situation. You lose the quarterback,
Herla.
I mean, he was spectacular. You wonder how this team's going to start out. They go 0-3, so you're thinking, maybe this isn't their year. It's just a rebuilding deal. And they are flat on a roll. I mean, they are putting points on the board. They're just dominating right now.
Plus, they'll get Riverside, by the way.
They'll take on Riverside. That's District 4 in 1A, as Riverside, the Cyclones, fall to Troy tonight. But St. Mary's plus 100 in district play.
Whew.
Plus 100 on the point scale. That's amazing. Jefferson County North, my dark horse team, the team that, again, that I'm really high on in preseason, still high on them. The Chargers get second in that district. They are district runners up. They will take on Troy next week at home. in that matchup and a future Northeast Kansas League matchup as Troy.
We might put that game on the radio next week.
There you go. Ooh, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Maybe. We'll see.
And then, again, Mission Valley and Oskaloosa round out District 3 into the postseason. It looks like Mission Valley will be the 3, Oskaloosa will be the 4. So in District 4, the pairings then, that means Oskaloosa will travel to Centralia next week, and Mission Valley will travel to Jackson Heights next week in opening round in that district. Down to District number 5, and again, a big game tonight, guys, that was in District 5, 1A. Smith Center, again, you cannot take anything, I guess, you got to take it with a grain of salt, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Previous game matchups. Smith Center beats Wabunsee by 2. Okay? They struggle for whatever reason against Wabunsee 16-14. Valley Heights just absolutely destroyed Wabunsee 64-26 last week.
That was a shocker last week. Couldn't even believe that happened.
Tonight, Valley Heights falls to Smith Center at home. Valley Heights, the runner-up in District 5. They will host Belle Plaine next week in the postseason. So for the Mustangs in 1A, they're out of the West, and you know they got a shot to make some noise, I think, from the West side.
Well, they do. I mean, you look at the playoffs and how they line up, and they again, they've been playing good football. Valley Heights, we've talked about them a whole lot during the show, and they finished the season 6-2. I mean, this is a good football team, and I think they could definitely make a run.
They'll potentially be matched up against Sedgwick County next, or in the second round of the playoffs. But down there, Medicine Lodge, shout out Justin Fluke Stomping Grounds. Medicine Lodge could be a team awaiting Valley Heights down the line in that classification of 1A. Let's move up now to 2A. And talk about this, because, again, I think District 3 at the beginning of this district season was kind of up in the air. It was one that was very, you know, you don't know what's going to happen because you had Atchison County that kind of came out on fire. You had Pleasant Ridge that surprised some people, got some big wins early. And you didn't really know what was going on with Rossville and Silver Lake. Some former or some future Big East teams coming to join, mash up with the Big 7. Silver Lake gets the win tonight against Atchison County in big-time fashion.
Yeah.
And so Silver Lake wins that district. They will host Minneapolis next week. Rossville, second, runners-up in that district. Rossville will host Riley County. And then, as Brandon mentioned earlier, Atchison County will travel to Sabetha next week, and then Pea Ridge, Pleasant Ridge out of Easton will travel to Seneca to take on Nemaha Central. But the big-time talk conversation that we were having earlier, Brandon, is Sabetha has an opportunity potentially to play against Silver Lake early in the playoffs.
Yeah, which would be a pretty tough matchup for them. Again, the first-round matchups are the same as last year. It worked out this way with Sabetha taking on, obviously, ACCHS and then Nemaha Central with Pleasant Ridge, but Silver Lake's been really good this year. Their only loss was to Hayden, who's undefeated, back in week 2.
Yeah.
Not a big team, but super athletic. That would be a tough matchup for Sabetha in week number 2, or round number 2, I should say.
And then for Nemaha, their potential matchup, Boz, should they get the win over Pleasant Ridge? Because again, I mean, I'm not going to just pencil everybody through, even though I think we all kind of have a feeling about who we're going to do. Who we're going to move on from. But Nemaha moves past Pleasant Ridge. Riley County, Rossville. Rossville likely to win that game.
Yeah.
Nemaha's got to go up against Rossville.
And those are just, they're interesting matchups because Rossville historically is a pretty dominant team.
Horax.
I mean, it's.
There's about 20 of them.
Yes. Every year there is a Horax on that team. And they, you know, they went up to Holton and stomped on Holton.
Dominant.
You know, typical. Holton's coming off 3A state championship game last year. So Rossville, not a team to be messed with. I think that now, again, Thunder is rolling. I don't see them stubbing their toe in that win. But I think Rossville might push Nemaha a little bit.
Yeah, I think that, again, you're looking at potential matchups down the road. I mean, again, is it the full expectation for a Nemaha-Sabetha sub-state championship game? It's very likely,
yeah.
I think, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, as you look across the board, across 2A, Osage City's had a pretty decent season. They would match up against Nemaha in the quarterfinal round. You know, and then you've got, again, I feel like, Brandon, as you look at this potential, Nemaha's got the inside advantage here in the playoffs, yeah?
Yeah, I don't think it's really a question. And some of these teams that Nemaha could potentially see, as you mentioned, in Osage City, that's 7-1, you know, coming in. They don't have, you know, they beat the very good Olpe team, you know, 14-0. It's just the, I look at these teams that we're not very familiar with, and I just try to find level of competition. Like, all right, who are you playing? Do we have common opponents? More than likely, it's not the case, but I just think for teams like Nemaha Central and Sabetha, their schedule is just so much more challenging, I think, across the board, you know, for some of these teams. But, again, we don't like to look ahead. It's hard to assume. We're radio people, so we do. Yeah,
right.
We have every right to look ahead. We have every right to call out a bunch of nonsense. We know it's Nemaha Central's, you know, to lose at this point. Osage City might be that matchup in the quarterfinals. You know, Sabetha again. I'm not dropping Sabetha from the number two spot just because they didn't look all that particularly great tonight. But again, that's just more of a credit to Nemaha Central. I think Sabetha is still probably the second best team in 2A, and the talent that they play and the talent that they have, I don't think that's going away. So
yeah,
2A is pretty outside of Nemaha Central, Sabetha. I think we can have a lot of names kind of run their way. I saw a Riley County team this year play Sabetha.
Yeah.
And their quarterback threw for 260 yards against a very good Sabetha defense, and the only reason they couldn't score was because their receivers kept dropping passes. Like,
sounds like the Ravens. Sorry.
you're Ravens. Get out of here with that nonsense. But anyways, nonetheless, but I do like a team like Riley County. Again, that's a team that's going to be in the Big East coming up.
I love that name.
There ain't going to be a better football league than the Big East.
The Big Seven was already the best league in I mean, let's just call it for what it is. I feel like it's. I mean, again, no offense to the NEKL, no offense to the TBL, you know, and some of these other leagues from our area, but let's just call it what it is. The Big Seven's kind of been a dominant league as far as in the parity in it.
Did you hear my stat about Perry Lecompton in the Fever show tonight?
I think we pulled in before we heard that.
So the Cause, of course, in the Big Seven, and they lost a lot of seniors that were
talent.
Like all league talents, caliber, track stars, very, very good. They were 2-5 going into their game against Royal Valley tonight. Royal Valley was 2-5 as well. But
mm-hmm. Royal Valley's having one of the best seasons they've had in recent memory, too.
The Cause five losses were against teams with a combined record of 31-4. Four of those teams were 7-0 going into tonight.
Yeah.
The only one was Holton, who was 3-4.
Pretty
Atchison, Nemaha Central, Sabetha, and Hayden.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about level of competition?
Yeah.
I look at some other good record teams like in 2A and 3A. You're not playing that kind of a gauntlet schedule.
Right.
So you're right. I mean, the Big Seven is top tier and top to bottom always solid. But I look at a team like Perry Lecompton, it's like, well, if they play like a West record or a West schedule.
Yeah.
They're usually always pretty good.
You're deep in the postseason.
But 31-4, your five losses.
It's a good comparison. Good way to put it in perspective. Again, I mean,
did Royal Valley win that game tonight?
Yeah. So I told you, Royal Valley had
a great season. Pretty sure I had them in the picks.
Check out MSCSports.net. Check out Friday Night Fever. See if BTAD maybe caught Fluke this week.
Which, again, and I always give the shout-out to the fans, the people who comment. That is our by far and away our most popular thing we put on our website as far as hits, clicks. Everybody loves what we do with the Fever Show.
Well, they either love you or they hate you because you're picking against their team.
Hey, I even have coaches that call me out on it each week when we get dialed up on the coaches show. They'll be like, hey, I saw you picked against us last week. And I'm just like, prove me wrong, please. Just prove me wrong. It's all for fun and games. I can't pick both teams. I'll flip a coin half the time.
Let's go to 3A, Boz and B-Tab. We got 3A, and again, tonight, Jefferson West with the loss. They are out in District 4 as they fall to Holton tonight. But District 4, Holton with that loss last week to Topeka Hayden, Boz secured the runner-up position. 4-4 regular season for Holton. But I feel like they've got a chance to make a little bit of a noise here on the east side.
Yeah, I think you're right. Here's the thing with Holton, trying to just really find their identity with this season. They struggled early, but, you know, Brandon mentioned tough schedules Perry LeCompton had. You know, Holton opens up with Omaha Central.
Yeah.
Then they follow up with Sabetha. Got off to a tough start, won four in a row, three in a row, got back on the winning side of things. But I think the thing for Holton that stands out for me is what they did last week against Topeka Hayden. I think they maybe saw a glimpse of what that team could be. You take away some penalties. You take
turnovers.
Away crucial turnovers.
Yeah. Two inside the 10.
Oh, how do you, yeah. you can't expect to defeat a top-ranked state team if you turn the ball over twice inside
right.
the 10-yard line. But that game is the one I think that maybe gave them a little spark and thought, hey, we here's the team we could be. Now we got to clean some things up and let's make a run through the playoffs.
Tonight, Holton rushed. Baz, did you see that stat? Rushed for over 500 yards tonight against Jefferson West, and eight different guys scored touchdowns, 514 yards on the ground. That's the Holton that people are used to seeing,
yeah.
and I think that you mentioned it, you hit the nail on the head. This week of practice for Brooks Barta's crew must have been, I would probably guess that it was the best practice they've had all year.
Well, you're coming off that loss to Hayden that just stung. I mean, it had to. You know you had
yeah.
opportunities in that game, and you come away with a loss. I know, like you said, this week's practice, I'm sure, was sharp, on point, really getting after it day after day. And I'm excited to see what Holton can do moving into the playoffs, for sure.
So their path in the postseason, they're going to host Bishop Ward next week in opening round of the playoffs. Holton potentially will likely play against Wellsville.
Tough matchup.
And I think that, yes, that will be an opportunity, again, a Wellsville team that's undefeated, excuse me. well, it means the same thing.
That works.
Yeah,
I mean,
good.
Whatever.
We knew what you meant.
Words. 8-0 on the year are the Eagles from Wellsville. But again, you look at the schedule, guys, and
it's
not the same schedule.
No, it's not.
Well, you look at, I mean, a win against Prairie View, 36-29, Santa Fe Trail. No shade to any of these teams, but you look at the victories at 56-6, 50-0, 42-7. I mean, those are ones, and we don't know a lot.
Looks like eight-man games.
Yeah, we don't know a lot, obviously, about Wellsville playing in a area we don't necessarily cover. But, yeah, the level of competition, you just wonder how that would
match
up.
And no dig here, B-Tad, but, I mean, Southeast Kansas football.
Hey.
It's just different,
now.
Right?
Come on now.
I mean, you get Northeast Kansas, and I think anybody and everybody that's listening right now would agree with me that Northeast Kansas football, it just hits different than Southeast Kansas football.
I've worked in about every corner of the state. I've literally seen about every facet of football, and I can't disagree what it's like in Northeast Kansas football-wise. Granted, I went to a high school. When I was in high school, we were 5A.
Yeah.
Now my high school's 4A. Of course,
yeah.
The year after we graduate, they're like, we'll move you down. So we were playing 5A, but we were never very good. But I think the question in 3A, is this the year? Is Andale finally going to lose?
I don't know.
Ooh.
I don't think
they're
so.
They're looking for what, five straight now? That
yeah.
game against Cheney last week?
Yeah.
Cheney's a fun fact about Cheney. I hit a game-winning three-pointer to win a mid-season basketball tournament my senior year. It was a tournament at Cheney. Against Smoky Valley, B-Tad shout-out, game winner. Earned me Athlete of the Week for the Winfield Courier.
Oh, we haven't dug into the high school.
Are we dusting off awards here? Yeah.
But
how long ago was that, B-Tad?
No, the question is, is this finally the year? Does Andale – I look at it like Kentucky men's basketball in 2012 where they were the clear-cut number one team. They lost in the SEC championship game, and I think that just put something in their head, was like,
mm-hmm.
Oh – we actually lost. And then they just ran the table to a national championship. I could see that happening with Andale. Like, they took a loss, and they finally got hit in the mouth. They were like, okay,
no,
it finally happened. Cheney's maybe not
good. Cheney is good, though.
And that could be a rematch.
And
in the
I
sub-state.
Think it will be a rematch in the
it
sub-state.
Should be.
And, I again, but you're also looking at Cheney's got to go through Clay Center.
Yep.
To but, get to that.
Clay I got Center. A cousin that goes to Clay Center. Shout out to him.
Yeah,
doesn't
no
play
joke.
Doesn't play football anymore. He did. He was the backup quarterback, but he's focusing on baseball now. So
smart guy.
But
I'm a big baseball guy.
Clay Center really good. Of course, Clay Center in Marysville's district. They've only lost to Southeast to Saline by five.
Yeah.
Who's what? who should have probably saw Nemaha Central in the state title last year, but got upset in overtime by Kingman.
Right.
So, and Southeast of Saline sitting there at 8-0 once again. That was their only loss by five.
Right.
They've also played a pretty good schedule. Wamego, Rock Creek, Southeast of Saline, Abilene, North Central Kansas League is always pretty good.
Yeah. They're all right until they play Northeast Kansas, but yeah. understand what you're saying. All right, so that's kind of our look at what's looking like for next week. We're gonna go a little bit more detailed into it. We got to get another break. It's our final break. We come
back. You guys,
back.
You guys have seen the last of me. I'm bouncing.
Brandon Tabman, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for chiming in, buddy. Have a safe drive home.
You guys keep it real, man. You guys do a great job. I've said it all year. I've gotten nothing but great words from parents and people who listen. You guys are just killing it, doing the Lord's work. And Kurt finally walked out the door. Where's he going? I mean, he's still got work to do, doesn't he?
You would think.
Come on, Kurt.
He just leaves when he's ready.
Come on, Kurt.
You're getting out of here, man.
I'm going to go chase him down and tell him he's got more work to do.
All right, brother.
Thanks,
appreciate
Brandon.
You.
Appreciate you guys.
All right. That was Brandon Tabman. We got one more segment to get to here on the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show. Got to thank those people that are helping pay the bills, keeping the lights on here at the Candleland MSC Sports Radio Network Studios. Joseph down at Care Country. One final break, my friend. We're back after this.
Denison State Bank is proud to be a sports club booster. We appreciate all of the athletes, coaches, and families for the time and commitment they make to preparing for and playing in the games they love. And speaking of commitment, that's what Denison State Bank promises to its customers. A commitment to great service, competitive pricing, and convenient access. Join the winning team at Denison State Bank in Holton, Hoyt, Meriden, and Topeka. And online at dsbks.com. Member FDIC.
At Giant Communications, we have internet speeds of up to 1 gigabyte per second. We know how essential high-speed internet is for your work, entertainment, and staying connected with loved ones. That's why we're here to transform your online experience.
No more staring at loading screens. No more interruptions during your favorite shows, and no more video game lag. Join the thousands of satisfied customers who have already embraced the future of internet connectivity with Giant Communications. Experience the freedom of seamless online existence. Say goodbye to slow internet and hello to the future. Contact Giant Communications today.
Keeping you connected to what's most important since 1955.
Helena Agri Enterprises in Centralia, Seneca, Bern, and Home City are driven by the success of our customers. Founded in 1957, we've grown to be one of the nation's foremost agricultural and specialty formulators. Our crop protection products, fertilizer, and application services are just a few of the things we do to help our customers succeed. Put our local people to work for you. Call or see us at Helena Agri Enterprises in Seneca, Centralia, Bern, and Home City.
American Family Insurance.
As your American Family Insurance agent in Holton, I'm looking out for what matters most to you, even when nothing's wrong. This is Brad Noller, agent. Call me at 785-364-3302 and let's talk about your insurance needs today. Contact Brad Noller, agent, at 364-3302 or stop by one of our three locations on the Holton Square or Topeka today.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This is Dorsey Hall.
Community National Bank means to me customer service for local customers. We have a great staff that know the community. They know our customers by name. They're able to help them, and we're able to provide more service in a uncomplicated way. When a customer walks through the door, we want them to be greeted with a smile and a hello and know that we are truly caring about serving them.
You feel right at home.
Right at home.
Community National Bank.
On your way to the game or on the ride home from the game, stop by McDonald's in Seneca or Hiawatha for a meal or just for a snack. There's a variety of delicious items to choose from on their menu and you can get them to go. Why cook before or after the game? Stop in for your favorite drink or ice cream treat like a McFlurry or an ice cream cone. Or one of your favorite sandwich like a Big Mac or a Quarter Pounder. Whether you're headed to or from the game, stop by McDonald's in Hiawatha or Seneca.
Oh,
This is Dorsey Hall, CEO at Community National Bank. You're listening to Community National Bank High School School Board Show on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Thanks, Dorsey. As he mentioned, this is the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show here on the MSC Sports Radio Network with Jake and Boz. Thanks a lot, B-Tad, for hanging out with us for a little bit. Boz, it's time for us to go over again our Lucret Chiropractic Wellness Game Ball nominees.
Well, we got a couple more for the nominations. Let's go through the ones we already had and the new ones. From Hiawatha, Caden Morton. We gave a little shout-out earlier. His senior year, he had a 53-yard pick six against Topeka Hayden tonight. The number three ranked team in Class 3A.
Go get it, Mr. Morton.
Finishes out his senior year with a pick six.
He's got one more game left.
He does. Oh, they got one more. That's right. That's
week.
Right. They
Come
get to play
now.
Again. All right. My
Come
bad.
On now.
My bad. But awesome job, Caden Morton. From Valley Heights, Carson Spoontz.
Spoontz!
He had 116 yards passing tonight with two touchdowns. We got a couple new ones here.
All right.
Nemaha Central. We don't get this nomination very often. A lineman.
Ooh.
Holden Bass.
Holden Bass.
He had three TFLs tonight.
Explain for the crowd.
For those of you who don't know, tackles for loss. Those are
there you go.
Big plays. So
Massive.
He also had two sacks on the night.
Buddy, those plays are almost as big as he is.
Yeah, pretty close.
He's a big dude.
He's a big dude. Now, and here's the other thing. That was the game we saw in the first half.
Yeah.
Those were the tackles for loss and sacks, but I'll bet he had another six, seven, eight pressures on the quarterback.
Sure.
So
yeah.
Heck of a game for Holden Bass out of Nemaha Central.
Yep.
Connor Kearns, JCN.
Kearns!
He had three touchdowns tonight, and I don't know if I got the note correctly. I think maybe he had an interception as well. So I don't want to forget that.
Hard to read the writing sometimes.
Well, Kurt's got Lee's little trying to write super
Come on,
fast,
Kurt.
So we'll throw it on him. We'll blame him. yeah, Connor Kearns, JCN, three touchdowns and a possible interception on the night. We're going to give it to him.
Maybe. Well, yeah, what's it give it to you?
Yep.
Connor, even if you didn't have it, you got a pick.
Last nomination we got out of JCN as well, Ethan Knoll. He had two touchdown runs tonight. We saw him play.
Yeah, we did.
Earlier this season. Heck of a player.
Him and cousin Grady. On the offensive side, defensive side for JCN. For my dark horse, my friend.
Yep.
Telling you, I got faith in those guys.
JCN, I'm with you. I agree. I think JCN, they fumbled a little bit maybe down the stretch.
Here's the thing, though. That loss for them against St. Mary's.
Which surprised the heck out of me.
Uh-huh.
But at that time, St. Mary's was reeling a little bit. We weren't sure what they were going to be able to do.
It's going to match up, a potential matchup of JCN Centralia in the second round of the playoffs. Ooh. That might be our game of the week that week.
That's, well, I don't know who's going to pay us to.
JCN fans, Centralia fans, again, our record this season in our picks, 298-31 is the total score of our eight games that we've picked as our games of the week. Whoever pays us the most, your team will blow out the other team. Is that how it works?
It's the way it works on paper right now for us.
Other games potentially in that classification, 1A, Jackson Heights, potentially matching up against St. Mary's.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, too.
That would be a good one, too. So, again, same thing for you Cobra fans out there.
We
accept cash and check.
That one too.
Maybe Venmo.
Maybe.
Hit me up with a Venmo, Cash App. All right. No, not Cash App. Cash App is having some issues, I guess.
Stay away.
Stay away. All right, quick little programming note for everybody. Tomorrow, you got Benedictine. We'll talk about them here coming up next, playing at 1 o'clock on KAIR 93.7 FM. Tom Kautz on the call. At the conclusion of that game, we will go straight to Winchester and broadcast the JCN-hosted site of volleyball, Substate. Again, that's in Winchester. Brandon Tabman will be broadcasting that on 93.7 FM. On the Hiawatha and Sabetha channel, we will have the St. Mary's Substate in volleyball for that at St. Mary's in 3A action. That'll be on the Hiawatha and Sabetha channel. Seth Tollefson will be on the call for that. And then Jared Sleppy will be heading down to broadcast Donovan West, Troy, and Centralia at the Burlingame Substate. All those substates except for KAIR, the ones on the Hiawatha Sabetha channel and on 92.1 KMZA will start at 2 o'clock. Again, Brandon with JCN Substate will start after the Benedictine game. And on 103.9, Kansas State pregame starts at 4. kickoff at 6 as the Cats take on TCU. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And a final programming note before we get into our next segment is there is a live on location. So come out and see me tomorrow afternoon at Wilcott Brewing Company in Houlton. Those reports will start at 3 o'clock on 103.9. Nice little programming notes there, Bob.
Yep, yep.
Now let's go into our stat leaders through week 7. 351 high schools, buddy. On the passing side, Troy's Gannon Bow. Shout out to you, Mr. Bow. 1,633 yards through 7 games. Ranks number 11 of all classes. Shout out to you, Mr. Gannon Bow of Troy. Frankfurt, Wes Anderson, 1,343 yards through 7 games. Ranks him 22nd in all classes. That's an 8-man.
8-man.
So we've got 1A and 8-man representing in the top 25 of all classes passing. And then Atchison, the Phoenix. Trey Carter, 1,169 passing yards through 7 games. I'm going to guess he had a few more than more passing yards tonight.
I'm sure he
did. He ranked 28 in all classes.
On the rushing side of things, Nemaha Central, Carter Hike, we've mentioned his name a ton. He's been in the top 10 all season. He dropped a few spots after last week, but Carter Hike still ranks number 8 out of all classifications, 1,264 yards through 7 games. From Lynn, Gavin Turk, 1,183 yards. He ranks number 12 in all classes. From Jackson Heights, Drake Melly's having a good season, 904 yards. That ranks him number 26 in all classes. From McClouth, Jarek Chenhall, 885 yards. That ranks him number 30 in all classes. And Valley Heights, we mentioned Carson Spoontz, one of our Luker Chiropractic Game Ball nominees tonight. He ranks number 46, all classes, 801 yards for the season.
On the receiving end from Troy, well, if you've got a passing guy that's number 11 in all classes, boss.
Going to have a receiver probably.
Got to have a receiver. Christian Etherton, 654 yards through 7 games, ranks 15th. And Frankfurt, again, Wes Anderson's a top 25 guy. So you got to have a receiver. Carter Olson from Frankfurt, shout out to you, sir. 486 yards through 7 games, ranks him 40th of all classes. Our week 8 schedule. Going into tonight, had some big-time games. We've gone through every single game around the area. We've gone through matchups for next week. Check out mscsports.net as we will have broadcast schedule and more to get to on the high school side. On the collegiate side, Buzz, BC back in action last week, and they got a big win.
Benedictine, here's the deal. They're 5-2 on the season, and we've mentioned this every week. This team had two losses that were very, very close games. They could easily be a 7-0 football team, but they are on a 4-game win streak right now. They got a 59-21 win over Central Methodist. They got a tough test this week against Missouri Valley. They're 4-2 on the season. Missouri Valley defeated Missouri Baptist last week 35-20. They've got good wins against Graceland and William Penn. Benedictine lost to Graceland September 9th, 37-35. One of their two losses, it was on a last-second field goal. So,
kickers.
Big time game. Number 18, Benedictine. Tough matchup tomorrow.
That game's on 93.7 FM, KAIR. Tom Couts on the call for that. Again, pregame 12:45, kickoff at 1. Peru State, the Bobcats against William Penn. Peru State, Boz, the Bobcats have won 3 straight.
They're on a little roll. I like it.
They defeated Graceland last week, 37-31. They have not lost since they played BC 4 weeks ago, taking on a William Penn team here tomorrow.
Yeah, and then we wrap up the college ranks in our area. Highland Community College, again, another team on a roll.
On a roll.
Highlands won 4 in a row. They defeated Independence last week, 10-7. They take on Detroit Community Christian College, who we know
nothing.
Absolutely nothing about.
We scoured the internet, guys, and nothing.
No. No website, no Twitter, no. I mean, they're a phantom team. I don't know if they really exist, but Highland, an opportunity to win 5 in a row, move them to 6-3.
That'd be impressive.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Got some local kids on Highland Community College for sure as well. A couple kids from Troy, a couple kids from Nemaha Central, and some kids doing some great things at Highland CC. All right, going to the Division I realm now. KU.
Whew.
Heading into a bye week after, hey, you made fun of me, K-State, a little bit.
I did.
After they dropped a ball against Oklahoma State, losing by a touchdown.
Well, but here's the deal. I made fun of you because you were like, oh, Oklahoma State, they're really bad this year.
and then K-State lost. So that's why I was throwing.
And you were, yeah, but you were still on a Vandy. Yeah, it's Oklahoma State. They should have won. Blah, 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 blah. What happened to KU last week?
KU took a note out of K-State's playbook and dropped a game to Oklahoma State. Here's what's frustrating. KU had opportunities in that game. They just had too many mistakes. They had an extra point that was blocked. They failed on an extra point on a bad snap. They failed on two-point conversions. They had two turnovers. I mean, their final five possessions, two interceptions, three turnovers on downs.
Can't that just win games doing
that. No, you can't win games. And you know, the story with KU right now, Jalen Daniels is, I don't know, obviously he's got something wrong with his back that's pretty severe. They talked about the muscle spasms, lower back. I don't know. I would think, just throwing my opinion out there, I mean, KU's got all sorts of team doctors and trainers and
multi-million-dollar facilities. To,
yeah, I mean, you just wonder how serious
KU
this
Medical
is.
Center.
Well, that too. I mean, there's some top-notch folks that can help him out. But I mean, you know, a lot of colleges don't really get into depth on injury type stuff.
Sure.
And so I think initially they might have been playing it down. But Jalen Daniels hasn't seen any action the last three games. He's only played in one game.
I'm not sure he's got any hurry to get back. This is what I'm looking at with this schedule. Jalen Daniels is a difference maker. You agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Complete game changer for KU.
Yep.
Jalen Daniels will not see the field again until they host K-State in 3 weeks.
I hope that happens because he is. He's a difference maker. Bean's doing a fine hold on. I don't want to say a fine job. He had a couple interceptions. he's doing what he can. Let's put it that way. I mean, he is a backup quarterback. He's not the guy. And it's
he was the guy, though, before Jalen Daniels shows up.
No,
he's a Division I athlete.
And before Jalen Daniels showed up, KU won two games?
Fair.
Yeah, I mean, no, he's not the guy. He never was the guy. Jalen Daniels
he's
is the
He's a Division I athlete that's getting NIL money.
There's lots of Division I athletes getting NIL money. That doesn't mean you're the guy. He's the backup, period. He's doing what he can.
Jason Bean would start on a different program in Division I. Guaranteed.
Oh, come on.
Guaranteed. He would go to UCF and be a better quarterback than what they've got right now. He would go to BYU. He would go to Houston. I'm going in Big 12.
I don't know.
And he would be a starter.
He might be a starter, but I don't think he does better than he's doing right now, which is turning over the ball. And he's not, I mean, he's leading drives. We're putting some points on the board, but he's not the difference maker. Jalen Daniels makes stuff happen. And the guy knows how to win. And we're seeing some losses here, so.
Hold up.
Why you got to hold up on me?
He knows how to win.
Jalen Daniels.
How many wins has he had?
I don't know. They won they didn't win a bowl game.
No, they
went to a bowl game last year.
Schedule.
Don't worry about it.
My season prediction for Kansas stays intact. 8-4 is my prediction with them winning a bowl game to go 9-4 this year for KU. I did not expect them to lose at Oklahoma State when they come back from the bye. Boz, they go to Oklahoma to take on a red-hot Sooners team.
Yes, they do. And that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Oklahoma's legit, obviously, ranked number 6 in the country. It's just going to be a tough win for them. And again, I think if Jalen Daniels is on the field.
Doesn't change in that game.
I think it makes a difference. Maybe not in the final outcome, but it is different. So we'll see. We'll see.
Let's switch our action to the better team to the west. K-State comes back on a massive win against Texas Tech. Now 4-2, they host TCU tomorrow. Again, you can hear that game on 103.9. Pre-game at 4, kickoff at 6, taking on the Horned Frogs in a Big 12 championship rematch from a season ago. Here's the big question with K-State. We talked about it last week.
Yep.
After the Oklahoma State game, is Will Howard the guy for Kansas State? And last week, Coach Klieman made a change, and Avery Johnson found the end zone not once, not twice, not three, not four. He matched the same number on his jersey. 5 rushing touchdowns for Avery Johnson. So what happens now?
That's the question. I mean, if you watched or read or watched TV, any of that stuff throughout this week, it's been the question. I mean, you're pressing Coach Klieman. What are they going to do? And here's the talk. I was actually talking to this lady today about this, and she's adamant that Avery Johnson is not going to play tomorrow. Not going to play because he's going to risk.
She's got the inside scoop, huh?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I don't know if she knows what she's talking about. We'll see. But that's what people are talking about. I mean, is he going to play or is he going to redshirt? And then you get into the whole, well, if he redshirts, he's going to stick around. I don't think there's any chance Avery Johnson leaves if he redshirts. But if you're K-State, you can't lose another game. I mean, you've got to roll through the rest of your schedule to have an opportunity to play in a Big 12 championship. And I think, personally, Avery Johnson gets you there.
You think so?
I think so.
If he's the starting quarterback and people have a chance to scout him every single week and can prepare for him, you think with Avery Johnson at the helm, Kansas State makes it back to Arlington this year?
I think they have a better shot with him running things than they do with Will Howard. I mean, I really do.
I don't disagree.
Because I think he brings a whole different element to what he can do on the field than Will Howard can.
He's yet to really throw the ball in this offense. But Colin Klein, offensive coordinator now for K-State, Avery Johnson was the first player since Colin Klein to rush for 5 touchdowns in a game.
Yeah, Colin Klein knows how to get the most out of a quarterback in the running game.
Yes.
And now here's the thing. When Avery Johnson threw the ball last week, was he 8 for 9, if I remember right?
Yeah.
The passes were on target.
Effective.
I mean, they were effective. So I hear people saying that a lot. Oh, we don't know if he can pass. Well, he passed last week, and he did okay with it. Now, it's a different game that he plays. He is going to scramble probably a lot more. He's not going to stay in the pocket as much. That's the question, I think. Can he sit in the pocket and deliver an on-target pass?
And another thing about Kansas State is the difference at running back that changed. DJ Giddens matches up with Will Howard so well.
Yeah.
Because he's a bigger guy, more slow, methodical approach with the rushing attack, with the play action game. But Kansas State, again, with Avery Johnson in the game, there's just a different feel. I think the energy changes when he's on the field because he's a breath of fresh air. It reminds me a lot of last year when Adrian Martinez went out, got hurt, Will Howard steps in, and it was a game changer.
Just the dynamic. The whole dynamic changes. And you can see it's lightning in a bottle. I mean, the team gets motivated and energized. I mean, obviously that helps when you're scoring touchdowns. But you're right. Will Howard did that last year, and everybody was on Will Howard's back.
Correct. At the running back position, Trayshawn Ward really showed out. He steps in. He's the transfer from Florida State for K-State. And he pairs up with Avery Johnson in the backfield. He rushes for 118 yards on 15 carries. DJ Giddens had 12 carries, Bob, for 50 yards.
Yeah, just different.
Different dynamics, and you got a different running back that pairs with a different quarterback. And Chris Klieman this week in his coach's show and at the media day said, when asked, which quarterback are you going with? He said, we'll go with either Will Howard or Avery Johnson.
I love that answer.
I do, too. Because now teams have to prepare for both.
Oh, yeah. And that's come up a lot. How difficult is it for other teams when they don't know who's going to be taking the majority of the snaps?
Yeah.
So it could play into K-State's favor. It's just very, very interesting what's going to happen there.
All right, final Division I team that we're going to talk about is Nebraska against Northwestern. Nebraska went into the bye after their win against Illinois. They're 3-3, Boz. They won 27 in that ball game. They come into the game tomorrow against a Northwestern team, Boz, that I kind of forgot you actually put this down after I said this out loud at our prep meeting. Our production meetings are always fun.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I spout off at the mouth and Boz types it up. Northwestern coming off an impressive win over Howard University, 23-20.
Howard, that's a good win for Northwestern.
But my honest talking point after looking at the Nebraska schedule, Boz, hot take here.
Yep.
Nebraska's got a good chance to win 5 out of the next 6 games. Shout out Kurt Heisler.
Oh, my goodness.
Big Red. Shout out Josh Shoup, some of the Nebraska guys that I know.
Yeah.
They got Purdue at home, at Michigan State, who's terrible, at home against the Maryland team that's reeling, at Wisconsin, and at home against Iowa. I think they run the table the next 5 games before they lose to Iowa to end the season.
Bold prediction, Cotton.
Very much so.
Here's the deal. I would love for Nebraska, just for a team, a program that's been struggling, rifling through coaches. I like to see the turnaround and the improvement.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can go, if they can win 5 out of the next 6. I think they drop the one to Iowa, no question there. Wisconsin, at Wisconsin, I don't care what their record is. That's a tough place to play. I don't know. It would be great if they won 5 out of the last 6. If you're a Nebraska fan, you got to love that.
Sure.
The way things have been.
I mean, Nebraska fans are just like KU fans. They're just happy that they get a win when they get a win. And if you're
Shots fired.
That would get the Cornhuskers to 8-4.
That's coming out of a K-State
like
fan.
That? You like 100%. That? Dude, I'll never forget late 90s, early 2000s. Iosaba running back for Kansas State. We go up to Nebraska and beat them 38-9. Never mind. Moving on.
Yep, moving on.
And we go to the NFL now. And one of our best segments last week was talking Chiefs football, I felt like.
Got a little heated.
And Thursday night game, we had instant reaction last Friday. Chiefs haven't played since then. They have made some moves, though. The Jet, Mecole Hardman, coming back to the Chiefs from the Jets. Is he a difference maker for this team?
We had a little conversation over lunch about this today, too. I hear the word, that's the guy that's going to get us to the Super Bowl. You know? And I heard this.
Oh, gosh.
Like, okay, the dude is fast, and he's
He fumbles.
He does fumble, and don't know if he's going to catch the ball all the time, but he adds a little more, a dynamicness, if that's a word, to the receiving corps.
I like that.
Because I think the receivers for the Chiefs right now have just been mediocre.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Yeah.
Mahomes is throwing darts to them. They catch them sometimes. They don't catch them sometimes. Just been inconsistent. I think Hardman maybe stretches out defenses a little more.
Yeah.
With his speed. Kind of what Tyreek Hill did.
Yeah.
You can't throw those two in the same category, really.
No.
But I think that brings
Sky
something.
Sky Moore was supposed to be that receiver,
yeah.
And Justin Ross, supposed to be those receivers that open up the top of the defense. Haven't done it this year.
No. Mahomes hasn't. How many long balls have they thrown deep that Mahomes? I mean, there's just not.
I think you could count on two hands what it's been.
It's just not as many. They don't have that deep threat. Maybe that opens that up for them right now. The thing with me with the Chiefs, it just doesn't feel the same. We got into it last week. The problem I have is, can they get to the red zone and score touchdowns?
Yeah.
They have to score touchdowns. We can't rely on Harrison Butker. Great kicker.
Sure.
But you can't,
not the best,
you can't win
good.
Games. No. You can't win games time and time again kicking three or four field goals.
Again, it was a one possession game against the Broncos.
Yeah, that's
last
what's,
week,
that's
right?
That's scary. Yeah.
That's scary for Chiefs fans, but Chiefs Kingdom again. Is there an issue at quarterback?
No.
You got Chiefs Kingdom out there, people saying Patrick Mahomes is struggling. Patrick Mahomes can't find the brown side of a barn with a pass. He's throwing interceptions right to defenders. Yes, he is.
He's struggled.
He's banged up again. His ankle isn't healthy. But he's won you. I said it last week. He won you two Super Bowls in the last 4 years. He's the league MVP reigning for a reason.
Yeah.
Get off the man's back.
Well, he is Patrick Mahomes. You expect a lot out of that guy, period. And so when that doesn't happen consistently, you start to get a little worried.
I mean, Lamar Jackson's got a better.
You just got to go to the Lamar Jackson thing.
I'm just saying. If I was to ask any Chiefs fan right now, you're so concerned about Patrick Mahomes right now. You want Lamar Jackson running the offense for you?
No.
No, you don't.
Here's the thing, though. We're not saying we need a different quarterback. We're just saying the feel is different. It's inconsistent. We don't want to trade guys off and revamp the team.
Spoiled.
We're just saying you watch them and it just doesn't quite feel the same. That's my take.
I'm a massive Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
Outside of when they play the Ravens, always have been, always will be. But dadgummit, man! I mean,
you can't tell me you don't feel the same thing though. You watch the Chiefs play.
Yeah.
They're just not as dominant right now.
Right. But their defense is the best it's been in 5 years.
Yeah.
It's the reason why we're winning games right now.
And that's all we need. Now let's get the offense rolling and rock and roll.
It's going to happen, though. You don't think it's going to click?
I do.
Okay.
But it's just the nervousness when you play the Jets, you play the Broncos, and we're not able to put them away.
They're still in the AFC West, my friend.
Yeah. Well.
We're talking the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Broncos. No team is touching the Chiefs in the AFC West. They haven't lost a game in 7 years in the AFC West for a reason. That's
man,
not changing this year.
Don't say that. Don't say you lost a game in this many. I mean, here's the deal. They can right the ship with the Chargers.
Chargers.
Doesn't have the same ring as the Titans.
The Chargers.
They can get things figured out against the Chargers. But we say this each week. Well, they're playing the Jets. They'll get things rolling.
Yeah.
They're playing the Broncos. They'll get things rolling.
Yeah.
And we're still in that same. Just can't separate and really get a dominant
win.
It's
still the dadgum NFL, dude. I mean,
it's still good.
Anybody that wants that expects a team to win by 20 every single week is just you're kidding yourself. These guys get paid millions of dollars to play a game. There's not going to be blowouts, and when there is, it's a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
I mean, last week the dadgum Browns. Shout out to Jared Slepy's Browns with a backup quarterback, PJ Walker, beat the San Francisco 49ers.
Crazy.
The Eagles lose to the Jets.
Yeah.
The hapless Jets, as I called them 3 weeks ago.
Yep, you did. You said that.
I did.
There's good teams.
It's the NFL. All over. Right?
No question.
Speaking of a good team, the Baltimore Ravens take on a very good Detroit Lions team who knocked off the Chiefs in week one. The only blemish on the Lions' schedule was an overtime loss against the Seahawks. Ravens got a win in London last week, 24-16 over the Titans. Lamar Jackson, Boz, 15-1 in games he has started against NFC opponents. And the Ravens play three straight NFC opponents. Ravens have a real good opportunity to go 7-2 in the next 3 weeks. They got to take care of business this week against the Detroit Lions at home. I predict.
What do you got?
Whenever I say I spout off at the mouth. Right?
Yes, I predict.
I predict the Ravens will finish the regular season 14-3.
Ooh.
The schedule that they've got the rest of the year, the only loss I've got for the flock is because. Again, I think home field advantage is a big thing in the NFL.
Yeah.
They've got a tough road game against the Niners. They got to go to Jacksonville. The Jaguars barely beat the Saints last night.
Yeah.
I see the Ravens. Lamar Jackson is having a similar season to what he had when the Ravens went 14-2 back in 2021 when he won the NFL MVP and he led the league in passing and in passing touchdowns. He's having a similar season.
Blah, blah, blah. I don't see it happening. I don't think the Ravens. Here's the thing with the Ravens sometimes. They'll be playing really good football, and then they'll trip up and they'll lose a game. Like you're talking about.
They've already done that at home against the Colts.
That's what I'm saying. It can happen through that eight-game stretch you're talking about.
Here's the thing. The Ravens, we were talking up the Chiefs' defense. Ravens have the best defense in the NFL.
You said the Chiefs have the best defense in the NFL.
I said they have a top defense.
A top.
Come on now.
We're going to go back to the replay.
Go back and listen to that. The Ravens have the best defense in the NFL, and they have for years. The Ravens are a team that is just the old-school, bruising-style defenders, right? How it's always been.
Yeah.
And it doesn't change. They have the best inside linebacker duo in the league in Roquan Smith and in Patrick Queen. And they got a defensive line that is up there with the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs have the best defensive line in the NFL with Chris Jones, with Karlaftis. And there's rumors that Frank Clark might be coming back.
That'd be big.
Massive.
Yeah.
But the Ravens are right behind them, I think. I predict a Baltimore-Kansas City AFC title game. The Bills are down. The Bengals are out. The Dolphins haven't played anybody yet.
That's interesting to think about.
Yeah.
What kind of show would we have if those two are matching up?
Nobody in Chiefs Kingdom, for whatever reason, can stand the Baltimore Ravens.
Because you like them.
Just
because you talk something about your face. That's exactly right. You start talking Ravens, and I don't know.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we lost all of our listenership right now.
Probably. That's okay.
But I don't care.
We get off on Ravens. I don't know how Ravens even got on the list here. Just
every week. They have to. Because I'm running this show. That's why.
Yeah, because everybody listening here is Chiefs people, and they're like, why are we talking Ravens?
Because it's going to end up being Ravens-Chiefs, and it's going to be one of the greatest AFC title games that we've seen.
Now, it would be. It would be a good game.
It's going to be against two top defenses against each other. I'm telling you, I really wish that the NFL would start scheduling teams not based off of division winner versus division winner. I wish it would be mix it up. The Ravens haven't played the Chiefs since 2020.
Yeah.
And I was in Baltimore, and the Chiefs got the win. But those are the type of games that the NFL needs. It's a lot similar to a sand volleyball league that we play in. We want to play, everybody at least a couple of times. You don't always get to play the cream of the crop. The NFL needs to do that.
Yeah.
You need the best versus the best in the regular season. And I'm sick and tired of the NFL not scheduling that.
You mentioned we might have lost listeners.
Yeah.
I got one that's texted me here right now, and he actually called you out, not on the Ravens segment, but he called you on you said a dadgummit. Roy Williams used to say that all the time.
Yep.
K-State guy.
Yep.
He's throwing out a dadgummit from Roy Williams' KU era.
I was actually a big Roy Williams fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're digging the KU out of you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I liked it when he was at North Carolina.
Come on.
But I actually liked him when he was at KU, too. I did.
Okay.
Roy Williams is a respectable coach that I like. Don't get me started on Bill Self. But dadgummit,
Dadgum, but there it is again.
Roy Williams, I was a fan of him.
Yeah, no,
for sure. Now you got me off on a off
we
of where
can't
I was
talking
going
about the Ravens
the
anymore. It, we're gonna have an NFC championship game. Ravens, Chiefs,
NFC
or NFC.
They play in the AFC.
Sorry, dude. Whatever.
It's getting late.
It's late.
All right, next week, Buzz. We got first week of the playoffs. You excited for it?
Yeah, man. You know, the thing is, I get super jacked up for football season to begin with.
Yeah.
Get through the regular season, and it kind of ratchets it up. Whole nother level. You win, you go home. It's playoff time, and I can't wait.
First week of the playoffs next week. We got a great scoreboard show for you. I appreciate you guys hanging out with us this late into the evening. Again, we're going to start, as we talk deep into the playoffs, we've got a lot more things to get to. Our final thing tonight is our Lucre Chiropractic and Wellness Game Ball nominees, and we're going to give the game ball away right now. Boz, who do we got for
right,
tonight's winner?
I'm going to go through these nominations just once again. Hiawatha, Caden Morton gets a 53-yard pick six against Topeka Hayden tonight, senior year. Way to cap off that that game tonight. Valley Heights, Carson Spoontz, 116 passing yards with two touchdowns. Nemaha Central, Holden Bass on the defensive side of things. Three TFLs tonight, tackles for loss.
Dadgummit!
Dadgummit, let's go. He also had two sacks on the night, and he had a handful of quarterback pressures. Big game for him. Connor Kearns out of JCN had three touchdowns and an interception. Ethan Knoll out of JCN, he had two touchdown runs tonight. Those were our nominees.
Yeah.
Man, it's always tough because dudes are getting it done tonight. But
sharing
the
love.
I'm going to go. So normally we would go maybe with a high stat offensive player. I'm going to go with Holden Bass tonight.
I like it.
Defensive guy down in the trenches. They don't get a lot of love. Tackles for loss are huge.
Yep.
And he was playing against Sabetha tonight. Big rivalry game.
Yep.
Two sacks. Heck of a night. Holden Bass gets the game ball.
Holden Bass, our game ball nominee. And he had to do it in front of a big crowd, not only locally. He had some. There were some guys there.
There were some
the
college,
next-level coaches.
Yeah, some recruiters there.
Checking him out, seeing what all's on the field here tonight. This has been a great show. We're glad you're tuned in with us. We're going to do it again all next week. It's the first week of the playoffs. Go Chiefs. Go Ravens. And dadgummit, root on your local school.
Let's go.
Postseason football next week. Thanks for hanging out with Jake and Boz on a Friday night. Hope you have a great weekend.